much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello! Hello, boys and girls! How's everybody today? Yay! Are you excited to be here?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Oh no! Here comes the fun police. Put down your fun and stop having fun, or you'll go to fun jail.
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend.
I think maybe we should just sit here quietly now, not say anything, and let you just kind of contemplate on the news I just dropped on you, and let me kind of just contemplate on my own pains and sorrows right now, perhaps while I listen to this music.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Maybe you can help me get some weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No thanks, ma'am. I'm actually gay.
Roll another one.
That's the way I like it.
Just like the other one.
Do you ever
win? This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I need another
hit. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Roll another one.
What is sadomasochism?
Just like the other one.
The b-hole has it over the a-hole for sure.
This one seems to be about sense.
My taste buds is going wild.
I don't have another cent.
Seems like our company wouldn't find that funny.
Our company loves it.
I would so rather be in prison.
Just pass it around.
What about the dogs? No respect for the dogs?
Well, then you're just missing the point.
And now.
Yesterday was Thursday, Thursday.
Yes.
Today, yeah, it's Friday, Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. Afterwards.
Our feature presentation.
Technically, that's all correct. Yes, it is.
I went home yesterday and checked. Thursday is the day before Friday. And then
oh, did you get a calendar? Did you sorcerer on that? Okay,
yeah, so good. Then it does go Saturday, and then Sunday does come afterwards. Mm-hmm. So.
But I'm confused. What happens after that? I feel like it's you drop off at the end of the world. What goes beyond Sunday? There's no information
more
whatsoever.
We can chew here.
Like, what's happening between Sunday and Thursday? That's what's missing from the song.
Yeah,
there needs
true.
To be some sort of a dance remix where they explain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to me.
Well, maybe that one's called Monday.
Maybe.
Still
hey, Rebecca Black update, by the way. The Orange County, California 13-year-old teenager who's the singing sensation of the world for the past 7 days.
And by singing sensation, you
yes.
mean? Yeah, a bad singing sensation.
The most horribly mocked entertainer in history, right. Number 35. Currently on iTunes and climbing. Number 35 is where it's at right now.
Yeah.
Now she
can
claims
take the mocking.
She claims that she can sing and that her next move is going to be to release an acoustic version of that song with no auto-tune to show that she can sing.
All right.
So we'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, keeping you posted. I'm Rebecca Black headquarters. You know that.
Wow.
Speaking of updates on the news, before we talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, we need some sort of a big sting or stab. We got to have Omar make something for David King of Mexico. He is our NCAA correspondent.
Oh.
Now, Dave, I follow on the texts and the tweets, and of course, we email too. So Dave and I are in touch a lot throughout
sure.
the day. I don't know how Dave got the podcast up yesterday. I don't know how Dave got any of his work done because he was watching 20 televisions at once all day long. Did you watch, how many games were there yesterday, Dave? 8?
I have no idea, but there were at least 4 at one time, you know. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
And you watched them all?
I watched most of them. You know, there was between 4 and 6 p.m. where I couldn't watch it. But But as soon as I got to a TV, I was glued to it, you know? It was awesome yesterday. I should say it was one of the greatest first opening days
ever. It was an unbelievable day.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Now there were five. Do I have this right? There were five games yesterday. Now, bear in mind, this is the tournament that these college teams work for all year long to get into the tournament. It's just, I mean, it's an honor to get to make the tournament, to make the cut. And then, you know, the tournament starts and you lose in your first day, and it's got to just be devastating. But five teams lost by a basket yesterday. That's how close so many of those games were. And there were a couple of buzzer beaters early, right?
Yes, yeah, there were. I think the biggest upset was Morehead State.
Morehead, by the way, best college name in history.
No kidding.
Yeah, beating Louisville. That was a big upset with a great shot at the end.
Louisville. A lot of people had them in their brackets yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's the best thing about March Madness. I got home just in time to turn on the game, and it was between Butler and Old Dominion.
Oh, great.
And
great ending.
I don't know where either of those schools are. I don't care. I don't have any
interest. You're not following any of those players?
Not a bit.
Right.
But when I turned it on, it was like 2 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time it got to the end, I was jumping up and down, like yelling, "Woo! I can't believe it!" Yeah. And it's so weird to do that for teams you don't care, but it was so exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome to root for these kids you don't know, and you're just like, make the shot! And Penn State and Temple, the guy from Penn State just came down with maybe seven.
Temple.
Yeah. Came down.
That was that character that Claire Danes played in that HBO movie.
Yeah. Drains a three with 7 seconds or 4 seconds left, and we think it's tied. You know, we're going to go into overtime. And then this kid just comes back, you know, gets stopped, does a turnaround jump shot, and drains it with no time left. Yeah. Game over.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
The poise that these guys have.
Yeah.
It's like they've been in the NBA for 10, 12 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the pressure. A lot of times, you know, especially now, if you're a junior or senior in college, you can go to the NBA pretty easily. So they don't stick around for 4 years. So a lot of times it's a freshman or sophomore.
That's right. Yeah.
Not
very many seniors. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, but.
Well, the talk yesterday was the tournament is so exciting on day one. Is it going to be nothing but disappointment from this point out? Like, how is it possible that the games today are going to match the games yesterday? But, you know, we don't know.
Somehow that's
the beauty of the game. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Somehow they will.
Yeah. And we should mention, by the way, the UCLA game, which was another one of those games that was unbelievably exciting for a completely different reason, because it was a blowout. And then they proceeded to give almost every point back to the Spartans.
No.
They were up by 19 at one point, Kevin, and ended up winning by, was it one or two, Dave?
I think it was two or three. But it felt like the Clippers because, you know, they had this big lead, and then they decided to start missing free throws and just doing stupid plays. And you're like, come on, just put it away.
That seems to be easy to do for teams.
Yeah.
You kind of get a little too confident. You kind of, it's going my way, no problem. And then all of a sudden it's not going your way, and it is a problem.
And that must have hurt. I mean, imagine how much that hurt. First of all, Michigan State's a really good team. And second of all, to get so close to that comeback, to try so hard. I mean, you know, UCLA still deserved to win because obviously Michigan State got in that position where they were down by 19, so they weren't playing the best basketball of their lives. But, man, that must have been tough. It's almost easier to get blown out than to come back that far and just fall short.
This is so weird. It is the only event that I get so into and couldn't care less about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
A lot of the teams I have no interest in. And I'll never watch them again, whatever. But when they're playing each other and it comes down to the last second, it's all about being a great game.
True.
It's just amazing.
Well, very exciting. So let's get Omar to whip up some production for us because Dave is going to be watching every game. So he's our go-to guy if we have any questions about the tournament. So for the next, Lisa, I'm sorry to say, for the next 2.5 weeks, this is what you're going to be hearing.
I'm sorry, were you talking?
Thank you, King.
That's the effect King has on people. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
You appear intelligent, but when you open your mouth, the effect is spoiled.
Well, now that's true. We have Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about his charity Music for Relief, and they're doing some things for Japan, so we're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to Kat Corbett from South by Southwest.
Oh, can't wait.
Who saw Kat Corbett, by the way, who follows us on the radio? She comes on after the Kevin DeBeach show on the mighty flagship station of our show, K-Rock in Los Angeles. She was on Carson Daly. He's doing a Women in Rock on his late night NBC show this week, and he profiled Kat, did an interview with her on the show.
Yes, I saw that.
How hot is Kat, by the way, first of all?
Unbelievable.
She's always that.
awesome.
She's always
she looked unbelievable. It's so cool. I can't imagine the fan mail she's getting from around the country now from people who see this unbelievably hot and cool. Hot and cool at the same time, which is a weird combination.
Yeah, she does.
Who just is so into great music. And she just looked amazing. And, of course, she would never miss South by Southwest. And I follow her on the Twitter. And she's been going pretty nonstop since she got there.
Yeah,
and there's been as much tweeting about alcohol as there has been about music since she's been in Texas.
Of alcohol, apparently.
Well, apparently so.
If you haven't been to Austin, it's got a very small downtown, and all of the bars are in walking distance. So you park, and then you can just walk from place to place and see everything. All of the venues, pretty much, are right in one little location. So you can drink. You don't have to worry about driving.
Right.
And it's so much fun. There's a lot of people there. And you can grow into shows, seeing music. So it's really difficult for
I don't know how many shows she saw yesterday, but I remember she went to the Vaccine. She saw Foster the People. She saw Duran Duran. She saw the Strokes. Those are just off the top of my head. And I think she saw a bunch more after that in one day. It's crazy.
Yeah. So we're doing Catwatch 2011 because she might die.
Well, if she were going to die, that would be where she would.
Really, yes. This is the way she would want to go out.
She'd be happy dying there. Yeah.
I think that would be her choice.
We're going to talk to Matt Pinfield about South by Southwest so that we can get some actual information about, the weekend.
Well, we needed one sober correspondent, and Matt's been to rehab.
Yeah, so he's our guy. We have, Movie Beat. It's Friday.
Yeah.
We are going to talk to funny man Jay Moore on today's program.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Jay Moore's, as we call him now. Bill Hader will be in the studio talking about Paul.
Excellent.
So that LaQuisha will be here reviewing last night's Jersey Shore. So this is a good show. I wouldn't say that about most of our shows. I will go out on a limb and say I think this is going to be good.
Okay. All right.
So it may not be still, but I mean, it's not for a lack of having content.
Save the tape where Kevin says it'll be a good show because it might be actionable at the end of the program.
Well, it'll all be execution. I mean, it's basically, can we pull it off?
We have the building blocks. Can we actually build
Correct.
It?
Correct. And by the way, that's something I wouldn't bank on. So I'm going to take that statement back.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next.
Back from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph Gurman in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's not raise the bar too high.
Yeah. Death is still looming.
Yes.
Well,
I'm kind of like The Walking Dead. I'm like that show on AMC.
Then we need to put you down.
I'm just lingering on the outskirts, looking for brains.
Well,
I won't find any here. You know what I'm saying? But I'm fine.
Well, we missed you very much yesterday, Ralph.
You lie like a rug.
Good to have you back. Have you heard us do the Showbiz Report? Come on.
I have not, but I've gotten feedback from the Garmy, and I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not all positive.
The Garmy is right.
Is he?
On this one, yeah.
So you is were they, missed. He said?
Is he?
Is he? Before I get to Showbiz News, how about giving away some passes to the premiere of Sucker Punch, red carpet world premiere of the movie from Zack Snyder, the man who gave you 300. And The Watchmen, Sucker Punch at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Wednesday, March the 23rd. If you've never been to a red carpet world premiere before, the place to do it is at Grauman's Chinese Theater. So much history, so much showbiz history right there in the heart of Hollywood. It's a very cool event. First three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get the tickets. Don't worry if you don't win, though, because it's in theaters everywhere March the 25th. You can check it out. I'm really looking forward to that film. We'll talk about films later on in the show. We've got the Movie Beat coming up, but let's talk about showbiz news right now. Donald Trump, host, of course, of Celebrity Apprentice, he is still playing with the idea of possibly running for President of the United States.
Yeah, I was asking about that because there was a lot of that talk on the roast, and it didn't look like he was kidding at all. And Bean says it's,
well, who knows with Donald Trump.
It's his PR.
And he loves the attention. Yeah. He loves the spotlight. And this certainly is a way to get it for the next year and a half. He'll be able to play this card.
But he wasn't, wink, wink, nod, nod, none of that. I mean, he seemed like he was serious about it. There's no way, but, yeah.
Well, he's not doing himself any favors. In an interview with ABC this week, he said he has doubts whether President Obama was born in the United States or not.
Yes! All right!
Sounds like he's a birther.
Oh, yes! My God.
Here's the quote. Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy. I was a really good student at the best schools in the country. The reason I have a little doubt, just a little, is because he grew up and nobody knew him.
What?
Except for all those people in Hawaii who knew him when he was growing up.
What does that even mean? He grew up and nobody knew him. Did he think somehow that Obama should have been on a national radar from the time he was two?
Doesn't make any sense. If I got the nomination, he said, if I decide to run, you may go back and interview people from my kindergarten. They'll remember me. Nobody comes forward. Nobody knows who he is until later in his life. It's very strange. The whole thing is very strange.
All right, let me just say something.
You know, I think he's a plant. He's an alien plant. He may be right. Oh. They might have beamed Obama down when he was 25.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's true of all of us. I don't know anybody from the time I was 0 to 10. You know what I mean? Like,
but all those people who knew you come forward, Kevin, and talk. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, they don't.
Here's the one thing I know about politics. It's dirty enough that if there was any chance Obama wasn't born here, it would have been uncovered.
Show me the birth certificate, Kevin. Show me the birth certificate.
It's not on me. I'm just saying.
Show me the birth certificate. You don't know, man. You don't know.
And the only thing I can't figure out, even if it is a great conspiracy and he managed to pull it over on us, how did he go back in time and print his birth announcement in two separate Hawaiian newspapers in 1961 or whatever year he was born? How did he go back and do that? How could you go back to the archives and see it in the paper that it was printed that he was born in Hawaii?
Socialist time machine, Bean?
I mean, that ought to have ended it right there.
It seems like a PR stunt to me, but I really, really hope he runs. That would be awesome. You see him on a debate? Oh.
Yeah.
So great.
More crazy people news. Charlie Sheen has added even more dates to his concert tour.
Are you sure he just doesn't think they're dates like
hookers? No, I think okay. he knows their performances.
All right.
Charlie Sheen Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth. Here's the dates if you want to catch Charlie live on stage. Atlantic City, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, Tampa, Florida, Sunrise, Florida, Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, and San Francisco, California.
I'm an F-18, bro.
All tickets go on sale Saturday the 19th at 10 a.m. so you can pick up your tickets.
Hey, I've got a show too, Everett, Washington.
Okay.
That's also one of the ones that was just announced.
So how many are there? He's doing like 20?
And I'm not going.
Is he doing like 20?
This is 12 more shows going on sale Saturday, plus the 8 or so that he's already got lined up, so about 20, yeah.
What's he going to do, though?
It's going to be crazy.
He's going to say he has tiger's blood
or whatever.
He's
going to tell you how he wins. He's going to be winning.
And then he's going to get booed off the stage, and then he's going to cancel the rest of the dates. No, that's my guess.
I don't think it'll happen.
We need to do an over-under. How many?
It's funny. He sold out the first two shows in 18 minutes, okay? But they said, for example, the Chicago show, half of the tickets that were purchased are now available on StubHub for an increased price. So I get the sense that maybe someone thought, oh, this is going to be a hot ticket. I'm going to buy a bunch, and then I'm going to sell them for a huge profit.
Yep.
So I don't know really what the attendance will be at the show. But we'll
I'm
going to
pass.
We'll have to wait and see.
I have so no interest. I haven't heard anything new out of his mouth in 2 weeks.
Consider yourself lucky. We were talking about A Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Lisa Rinna was recently booted off that show. Apparently she and Star Jones did not get along at all. And Lisa Rinna has been posting some pretty nasty things about Star Jones online, which I support wholeheartedly.
As do I.
Meanwhile, Star, who, as you know, is also an attorney, apparently is putting together a legal team to haul her into court for defamation and slander.
No way.
Love it.
So at least the American court systems will be clogged with some case about a reality TV show.
I don't know Lisa Rinna, and I didn't watch that episode, but
you hope you're on the jury.
I hope I'm on the jury because she wins.
Yeah, I agree.
Star Jones is so hateable.
She really is.
Oh.
On every level.
It really takes something special to, you know, come across immediately as somebody that needs to be punched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's horrible.
She's super obnoxious on this show, too. In a room full of obnoxious people, she stands out.
She loves to argue too, doesn't she? Ralph?
I mean, that's find any reason.
Nothing gives her more pleasure because she believes she's the greatest arguer in the world because she's an attorney. So she says, "Go ahead and argue with me about anything. I'll win."
Wow. What if I say you have a giant alien head? Argue your way out of that one, Star Jones. True. Let me say you married a guy who is gay.
You have back fat.
All these things would be
all true.
All true. American Idol last night, Karen Rodriguez got booted out.
Oh,
I know.
We all
felt it. Didn't we, Kevin?
God, right? Thank God.
Yeah, she was the weak link.
I wasn't watching.
However, she will be a weather girl on Univision in about 2 weeks. She's got that look.
Fantastic.
She was the only competitor who got her audition via Facebook, I think it was. She auditioned online. They had a special deal this year where you could audition online, and they would pick someone from that, or several people, I guess, from that source, and put them in the show. And she was the last of the online auditioners. Everyone else had to stand out in the cold. Naima and Haley were also in the bottom three, and any one of them could have gone, and I would have been fine. So, Bean, what were we talking about last night with the unnecessary censorship? Because I kind of fast-forwarded through it. I had it on the TiVo, so I may have missed what you were talking about.
They have an hour to fill, as you know, Ralph.
That's why I fast-forwarded it on TiVo.
Right. Yeah. And they only have about 10 seconds of content, which is, hey, you're going home, Karen. That's all you really tuned in for the show.
Right.
So they were doing more background information on the kids, and they were talking to them about their families and their home lives, and everybody was talking about their dogs. That was one of the tape segments last night. It was all the contestants talking about their dogs. Now, Pia, who I know is your favorite, has a sheep.
Karen, Mia, Pia.
Yeah.
I love Mia and Pia.
She has a Shih Tzu. Okay, that's her dog. She's got a Shih Tzu. Now, that's a legitimate name for a dog, right?
Yes, sure. It certainly is.
Pia was talking about the dog, and American Idol bleeped her, censored her last night.
They put a beep every time?
The breed of her dog. It only came up one time, but here's the tape from last night's AI.
My dog, Chloe, who's a Tzu.
Now,
wow!
How pathetic is that?
My dog, Chloe, who's a Tzu.
I heard that, and I thought... Is that hilarious? Is American Idol doing that because how funny that is?
No,
never.
You know, like Jimmy would do? Or is somebody, the person who edited the show, unfamiliar with the breed and thought that Pia had sworn somehow about her crappy Sioux dog?
I'll bet, even worse, they knew she didn't say it, but they were afraid people would hear it that way.
Somebody Iowa would complain.
That's so bogus.
No offense to our Iowa City listeners, by the way.
No,
because
we're
not suggesting you would complain.
No,
but
not
the people other people around the state, maybe.
The people listening to other shows in Iowa.
Right.
Those are the ones we don't like.
Is that crazy, though?
Yes. I've never heard anything like that.
My dog, Chloe, who's a do?
I should have said crapsu.
I guess they're worried that people don't know about that breed or whatever, but that's on them.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
That's crazy.
Bizarre moment.
I don't want
Pia so hot when she talks dirty.
I wish she was talking dirty.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm sorry, let me just butt in, Ralph, if you don't mind. So they did an entire segment on the contestants' dogs.
That's right.
Okay, yes, just wanted to clarify
talking
that.
About how cute their dogs were and funny things that they did.
One of them
like
has
that.
A dog that sings.
That's Pia, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that I think Pia. It was Pia, yeah.
And you guys watch that.
Oh, they should have canine American Idol. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
You bring out 12 dogs and let them all sing. And we pick our favorite.
How many contestants are left?
There are 11 left,
and
Kevin.
We're already down to talking about their dogs.
Listen, they got an hour to fill. And they had the Black Eyed Peas and Lee DeWise on last night.
Oh, my God.
You people are making some bad decisions.
Look, I know we've been mocking the Black Eyed Peas for a long time, but I tried to approach the show last night with fresh ears, and I'm telling you, they suck worse now than they've ever sucked. That performance last night was unwatchable, right? Except for Fergie's boobs,
you know,
right, Ralph?
You know what? I didn't watch it.
Nice. That's how you handle stuff like that.
I guess it was
that.
Unwatchable. Yeah, I just zipped through the voting part, the judge part.
Well, I'm sure. Sorry, I missed that dog section.
Do you know who Pia Toscano is?
No, I've not.
Have you seen Pia Toscano?
No, I don't.
See, open your eyes. Take a look.
Well, what am I supposed to do about that?
I'm just saying you're missing out on one of the most beautiful, talented women on television today.
Right, but to see her, do I have to see a segment on their dogs?
No, you don't.
No.
You can fast forward through it like I didn't. You can just freeze frame on her.
I'll just
look at her and just go,
I'll just get a photo.
That's why I'm better. I think she healed me.
Oh, really?
I think the sight of Pia Toscano healed me last night on television.
I'll just look at a photo.
Oh,
that's fine.
You don't know what you're missing. Today's celebrity birthday, singer-actress Vanessa Williams is 48 years old today. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains turns 45. Queen Latifah, actress? Rapper? She's 41 years old. Dane Cook, comedian?
Oh, my God. Today's Dane Cook Day.
Is 39 years old. Singer Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 32 years old today. Kevin, I know it's been a long time.
How dare you?
Do you still want us to give some love to Maroon 5? Because I'm not sure. I can never remember if you want us to give love to Maroon 5, not to give love to Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
All right, if you insist. All our love to Maroon 5. Adam Levine is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Blink-182, by the way, if you go to kevinandbean.com, you can get details and participate in the Mark Hoppus Blink-182 memorabilia auction that he's doing right now to raise proceeds to help victims of the Japan tsunami or an earthquake. Also, our friend Travis Barker's new album is out. It came out this week. You ought to get that, called Give the Drummer Some. And I think Tom from Blink-182 is visiting his friends on Venus right now. So all the band members are actually pretty busy this week. So there's your update.
See, because Tom sings a lot about outer space.
Mm-hmm. He does seem to think he lives on the moon. I don't know what's going on with that boy.
All right, it's time for a feature we like to do because it makes us all feel better about ourselves.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have two of them today, both spectacular. One is an ambulance driver who used his GPS equipment and his ambulance as a getaway car, has been convicted of holding up a Queens nail salon and threatening to kill a customer.
I'm surprised more people don't use an ambulance as a getaway car because you can go as fast as you want and everybody parts for you. And it seems like you're clear sailing to get out of the neighborhood you're in.
And you can be tracked.
Well,
oh,
there's that.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, so that's how they did it. They could track the ambulance, so the police just went online or however they do it, and they tracked it. They knew exactly where the ambulance was at all times.
Well, I didn't know that.
I guess that's why more people didn't do it.
So he was found guilty of three counts of robbery. By the way, really, nail salon? If you're going to rob something,
I know.
How much are you going to get? Why don't you go to any place that actually takes in cash? Nail salon. He faces 20 years in prison.
Dude.
Because he threatened someone's life and he had a gun. You know, that complicates everything immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, ambulance, not such a good getaway car, because you can't get away, mainly.
Now we know.
This is my favorite story ever, maybe, because this is the best. The guy's name is Antonio Racinas, and he bought some cocaine. All right. Now, gave the man $40, got his baggie of cocaine, and went through it. He said, well, you know what? This is a little light. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the amount of cocaine I got for my $40.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
So, right. We all have.
Sure.
So he picked up the phone and he dialed 911.
Oh, that's not thinking.
And he told the 911 operator, I believe I just got ripped off. And she said, what are you talking about, sir? And he said, I just bought some cocaine. And then midstream while I was talking to the 911 operator, he does something that's even more foolish. He hangs up the phone because he sees a police car. That's more immediate help.
Oh, no.
So he hangs up the phone on the 911 operator and runs out into the street and stops the police car.
Flags the guy down?
Yep.
What this guy didn't need in his life is more drugs.
He is a 35-year-old man. So he told the cop, look at this small bag of cocaine. Look at this. My dealer, I should get more than this for $40, right?
What a ripoff. How much does this look like to you? I paid too much for this. Go find that guy.
How crazy is that? He was arrested early Sunday on a narcotics possession charge, of course, because he had it on him to prove it.
Yeah. He basically handed himself over to the cops.
He was later freed on $5,000 bail and has a March 30th court appearance, according to police. So not one, but two times did he involve the authorities in this problem. And you see these stories all the time. Yeah. Somebody feels like they got ripped off when they're buying drugs. And so they think that calling 911 is going to help their cause.
But it never occurs to them.
Well, I'm guessing here that he was under the influence of something at the time.
Oh, all right.
Drinking or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, to call 911 and then still you don't realize it. And then you run out and stop a cop car. I mean, basically, he threw himself in the backseat of the car.
He may as well have, yeah.
So that dude right there, that's the Kevin and Bean Citizen.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Thanks for tuning in on a Friday.
Nope.
Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda on the program later on today telling you how you can help tsunami and quake and perhaps nuclear victims in Japan. Also, actor Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live and the new film Paul going to be joining us later on today. I don't know why we don't talk to our buddy Matt Pinfield more often. Why do we only have him on once a year when it's South by Southwest? The guy is plugged in.
I think because he has too much energy for us.
He's exhausting. We can only talk to him once a year. We need time to recover.
Then we need to recover and rest and sleep for a couple days.
Matt is a an influential and popular DJ on WRXP in New York, and of course he's been on and off the MTV for about 20 years, and we'll talk about that in a second. And are you in Austin right now at South by Southwest too, man?
Yes, I am. I'm sitting in my hotel room getting ready for another day of live music, because I mean, well, it starts at 10 in the morning here and it goes till 3 in the morning all day.
It is crazy. It's insane. And you know, the one thing that we've heard, and we of course we're not there this year, but the one thing that we've heard is it's getting to the point like Comic-Con did last year where it's almost too big. Have you experienced that at all, Matt?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. Yeah, it's really kind of gotten out of control. I mean, it gets harder and harder to get into you know, the shows for people, and it's like, you know, walking through like a crowded Times Square in New York City, you know, day. I mean, it starts to resemble New Year's Eve after a while. The streets, it's insane.
How many bands are playing this year?
I think there's close to, you know, a couple thousand at least, you know, and there's been some great shows. I mean, obviously, some of the great standbys and you know, K-Rock bands that you know, The Strokes and Queens of the Stone Age had really great shows. Foo Fighters all played. You know, Queens of the Stone Age did their first album all the way through. Strokes were previewing their new album, and even the Foo Fighters did their new album.
Now, this South by Southwest, the idea behind it is to for bands that don't have a record deal, for just to be discovered. They get out and play their music, they're discovered. Why do existing bands play that have deals and whatever? I mean, is it just a good venue to get their music out, or what?
I think it's a good venue, and it's kind of people want to make a statement and come down. It's true. I think it's gotten a little, honestly, as much as I love coming here and working here and doing things, it's really gotten truly, really too big in a sense that, yes, a lot of established bands come down here, I think, kind of to make a statement. They know it's a great press opportunity.
Right, right.
To come and launch a new record or kind of say what they're doing. But there's still an opportunity to see a lot of great up-and-coming bands here. But, I mean, it has gotten to be where everybody's fighting for attention. So no matter how much stuff that you love, you can never quite see everything that you want.
Give us two or three bands that are supposed to kind of be their coming out party. They're going to be the next big thing. Do you have those?
Well, there's a great band from Chicago called the Smith Westerns, who are great. They kind of are a cross between garage rock and, you know, from the 60s and, you know, T-Rex and Bowie, you know, that kind of vibe in 70s glam, but I mean, with a modern twist on it. And then there's this other band with a funny name called Yuck. That's right.
Love
it. Called Yuck. And they actually sound kind of like they've got a 90s vibe, like Dinosaur Jr., you know, meets the Pixies and Pavement. And they're really good, too. There's some great stuff here.
Tell me about Duran. It's weird. Every year, there's always one band that really stands out that plays. Metallica was last year, the year before, and everybody was like, what? Duran Duran played last night. Now, are the people in South by Southwest in Austin, are they willing to not be hipsters for a minute and go and actually enjoy Duran Duran, or did they stay away from that show in droves?
No, I don't know. No, people went, and it's funny. There was like a panel with Nick Rhodes being interviewed next to our panel. I was moderating a TV panel with like CMT, MTV, VH1, you know, all the TV channels. And I'm telling you, there were droves of people at the Nick Rhodes interview and tons of these Duranis. You know,
sure.
I thought I was a kid again listening to Rio or something. So, which was cool.
Hey, let me just ask one more question about that band. Do they still do 911 as a joke?
No, they don't. Oh. I think they realized that was kind of out of character for themselves. Yeah, I don't think they do anything from the covers album.
It was anymore. A out of character. B horrible.
It was the worst, the most ill-advised remake of all time. We had a whole thing back when that came out because we were mocking it so much, and they ended up calling us on it and making us come out to their studio, and they tried to convince us that it was good. It was actually a very funny time. I like those guys a lot, but they never should have done that song. This is the voice of our friend Matt Pinfield on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about South by Southwest 2011, which is going on right now. By the way, for folks who hear about it every year, listeners who hear about it every year, and they think, hey, I can't get in because it's you know, it's closed off, or it's, you know, the press only, or you got to be somebody. I mean, anyone can go, and most people can. I mean, you can go to most of the shows. They're not private parties, right?
No, you know, it's really funny. You can. You just pay for a badge. It's like any convention. You pay for a badge, and then 95% of the shows you can go to, as long as you're willing to weather the lines, the long lines, because
right,
like you said, it kind of, you know, it's funny. It's the same time as spring break, and I thought, well, maybe everybody in my hotel is, you know, is a band. And I run into these people, are like, well, we're here for spring break. So it's kind of a combination of South by Southwest, Mardi Gras, spring break. It's like, you know, it's just this big, big mad fest outside. But you know, the one thing that's cool about it, guys, is you walk every 10 feet and you hear like a different band. So if you don't like what you're hearing now, walk 10 feet, you'll hear something.
That's the cool thing about Austin. It's a really small downtown with a lot of good venues for music. So you really do just have to walk out, hang a right. 10 feet, hang another right, go into another place. Are you on TV again this year, Matt, and what channel?
Yeah, I'm very excited, actually. They made the announcement yesterday, and I was excited to say that almost 250 news people picked it up. I'm going back to doing 120 minutes on MTV2.
Hold on 1 second. We will get to 120 minutes. Are you on this weekend from South by Southwest?
Oh, no. I'm actually just doing radio stuff down here.
Because I remember watching you on Channel 101 or whatever it was, and you were there doing a lot of coverage. You could see a lot of bands. That's not happening this year?
No, it's not. You know, that was great. I did that for 3 years straight, and I was literally doing live TV for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
3 days in a row.
Seemed like a nightmare for you, but I liked it.
Oh, it was. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. It wasn't really a nightmare. I loved doing it. I mean, I was so into it. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you know, my adrenaline. I'll fall over.
Right. By the way, this is Matt not on drugs. I want everybody to understand that, too, by the way.
No, this is me sober, guys.
It's crazy.
If Matt was on drugs, he would explode. All right. I apologize for that. I just want to make sure the South by Southwest, there was TV I wasn't missing because I like to record it. All right. 120 minutes is coming back. Tell people who don't know what 120 minutes is.
Yeah,
what
for
it
the
is.
Younger folks who don't know, 120 minutes was like the actual premiere showcase for years. It was the longest running music show on MTV. It was Sunday nights at midnight. We don't have the time slot picked out yet, but it was a two-hour place to go and see videos and interviews and performances of all new alternative and indie rock bands. It was great, and it's, you know, we've been talking about bringing it back for a while, and we finally got it together and came up to, you know, an agreement of how we were going to do this, and it's real exciting. And there's like a mini-sode thing, if you want to check it out online now, that went up today on MTV.com. It's called 120 Seconds, but it has me doing some, you know, music news and interview with the Kills, you know, Allison, who's also in the Dead Weather with Jack White.
Right.
And then with different bloggers. But there's two episodes of it out up right now that you can check out at MTV.com.
And then when is it going to be on aware?
I'm guessing. Now, nobody's declared this. It's not in any of the press. But I'm thinking that the first 120 minutes will be on at the end of April. That's what I'm thinking.
End of April. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We only have about a minute left, Matt. But we understand you talked to producer Alex, and you've got some Foo Fighters news for us. Something about a documentary coming out.
Let me tell you, that was one of the biggest things that was down here. I got to be honest. I was just out at Dave Grohl's studio in Northridge. I went out to tape a special with those guys. And I watched this documentary that, if you're a Foo Fighters fan, is going to blow your mind. And
awesome.
If you love Nirvana, it's the most honest music documentary you'll ever see. I mean, it talks about everything that you can imagine, all the things you ever wanted to know about the Foo Fighters and the inner workings and some of the band members leaving. You know, obviously, the last time that Dave Grohl and Pat Smear spoke to Kurt Cobain, it's a very moving documentary.
Wow.
So, and what are they going to do with it? Where is this going to be seen or shown?
Well, they just showed it at South By, and then the band came on and played their entire new album, and then played another, like, hour of their hits. So.
Wow. Those of you that don't know, before the music part of it is a movie part of it, in South By Southwest.
Yeah, I mean, every year they show independent films, music documentaries, you know, so it, actually the film and music part of it overlap.
Do you know their intentions? I mean, do they want it to open wide in theaters? Is it just going to be online? DVD? What's the story?
I think it's going to have like a limited run in theaters, or who knows, maybe you guys at K-Rock will have like a showing for listeners. I know eventually it'll be on DVD, but believe me, this documentary, I was so blown away by it. I mean, if you loved the band before, you'll love them even more now. But
awesome.
You also understand.
Not possible. Couldn't love them any more than we already do, Matt. There's no way.
Can I just tell you guys, this was a great moment for me. Like, one, you know, I'm lucky, a great rock moment. While I was out in Northridge, I had to wait for my red eye, so I was sitting there with Dave and Taylor and the band, and they were like, come into the small room. So there's like a 10-foot by 10-foot isolation room, and the Foo Fighters actually set up around me, like literally 3 feet away from me, and they sat and rocked out the entire new album live.
What?
It was me like leaning against the wall. You know, it was amazing.
Did
was
you like feel like those... you really, really had to applaud because you were the only one?
Yes, I did. Every time they stopped the song, I'm like, that was amazing.
Was it embarrassing when you kept looking down at your texts?
No. I was really, you know, I made sure that I took a few pictures of them before they started playing, and then I was just fixated on it. You know,
that's awesome. Amazing. What a life, Matt. You're so good at what you do, and what a thrill for you to be able to be in this business that you love so much and be around so much great rock music. And like I said when we brought you on, it's a shame we only talk to you once a year. We should definitely do this more often. But thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show today. Have a great weekend down there in Texas, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, man. 120 minutes coming to MTV soon. Look at your local listings, and we'll...
Talking to Pinfield a few minutes ago, got me all geeked up for Foo Fighters. So let's play their new one called Rope coming up in the next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, some social D for you. Right now, Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm all geeked up too. On cold medicine.
Cold medicine, yeah.
Yeah. On Alka-Seltzer Plus fast powder packs.
Those are rolling deep.
Oh. And let me tell you something. This is not a paid endorsement. This is just me speaking from the heart. If it wasn't for Alka-Seltzer Plus powder packs, I wouldn't even be here right now.
You'd be hanging out with Nate Dogg?
Oh, worse.
Worse?
I've never even heard of them. I don't even know what they are.
Here's the thing. Alka-Seltzer Plus is Alka-Seltzer's cold medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be you drop it in water like it would regular Alka-Seltzer.
Couple pills.
It would fizz up.
Right.
It would fizz up, and then you would drink it. Right. And the only drawback, I think, was, and I got to talk to the boys in the lab to make sure this is scientifically factual or not, but... It tasted like ass. So what Alka-Seltzer did is they ground it up into a tiny little powder. It looks like a packet, like a sugar packet or something. You tear it open.
Is it a white powder?
Yes.
And it makes you feel a lot better?
Yes.
Wow.
You snort it. You snort it with a straw. Don't get me wrong. And it's you take it differently now. You snort it off a mirror.
Yeah,
I don't know if that means anything.
Huh.
No, you pour it into your hot or cold beverage, and you just stir it up, and you can't taste it. It's tasteless, and you just drink it down. And the next thing you know, woo!
And it works.
Woo! Next thing you know, woo!
That's great.
So it makes
awesome.
It feels better. So if you're suffering from a cold or flu this season, try the Alka-Seltzer Plus powder packs, fast powder packs.
I'll tell you, look at all the commercials for cold remedies, and they all fix everything.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You realize none of them fix anything.
And I think it varies from person to person. Some people, you know, react better to some stuff than others, but this stuff, I'm telling you, makes all the difference for me, so... There's your upbeat. There's your tip from me this morning.
Paid celebrity endorser.
It's not.
They're not
paying me nothing.
Not
I'm
a
just
paid
speaking from the heart.
You should pay him.
Celebrity endorser.
You should pay him, but nothing's been promised.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, you know the band was recorded their latest album in Dave's garage.
Yep.
And so Foos have announced they're going to perform live in the garages of 8 lucky fans.
Oh,
they're the best.
They really are. Details on how to enter are at FooFightersGarageTour.com/contest. But they are picking 8 fans, and if you win, they will come to your garage and set up and play for you and your friends in your garage.
That's cool. Here's what we know about Dave Grohl. He will also hang out with you. I mean, it's not like they're just going to show up, walk past you, play 3 songs and leave.
Right.
They're
not
going to
ignore you.
Coolest people in the world.
He'll go up to the room with you and play Xbox if you ask him.
Yeah. Right. And if you're extra nice, he might bring you some of these Alka-Seltzer Plus cold packs. Mm,
I don't think he's...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves
the Alka-Seltzer Plus powder.
I don't think so.
Page Liberty.
More music news. Lady Gaga is the best thing ever.
And
oh, really?
By best thing
I
ever.
I heard that.
Define that.
Well,
you?
She has sold more downloads than anybody ever in the history of everness.
I believe it.
She has sold more than 20 million downloads. The highest certified artist of digital singles in history. That's a big deal, according to the Recording Industry Association of America.
But in history means the last, 10 years?
10 years, right.
You know, the digital single hasn't been around for all that long, but still, it's quite the accomplishment. Sure. You just consider all the artists and all the bands and all the singers in the world who have released digital music.
More than I've sold. Tell you that.
She's crushing it. So good news for her.
What'd you think of that Born This Way, Born to Be Wild mashup they did on American Idol last night, Ralph?
I
fast-forwarded through that, too.
I fast-forwarded through the big group numbers.
I just don't care at all. Yeah.
I am not a fan of the Up With People sort of Disney park performances when all 12 of them get on stage and sing together. That is not my thing.
Yeah, that's not a good idea for a mashup anyway.
No.
Every single time you guys talk about that show, you say something that makes me more sure I don't want to watch it.
Well, I don't like the filler.
I agree.
Like the filler. That's the weakest part of the show for me.
And there's that 2 Seacrest. Shows a week, and the second show is all filler, right?
Yeah, they only have, like Bean always says, they only have about 8 seconds worth of content, which is to tell you who got voted off that week. And I like the drama when they bring the people out in groups of two and three, and they say, "Okay, you're safe, and you're going to go over to the
and they put out the fire.
Death row over there." They don't put out the fire. That's Survivor.
Oh,
but the rest of it, the Black Eyed Peas and the Lee DeWises and the group sing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I can do without. So that's what DVRs are built for.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
Looks like it's all over to Ashley Greene and Joe Jonas.
Oh, that's such good news. That was wrong from the start.
About goddamn time. Him and his freaking promise ring. Oh, I'm abstinent. Oh, I got Ashley Greene as a girlfriend, but I'm not doing anything because I wear my ring. Ass.
We didn't know which Jonas brother he was yesterday when Kevin and I were talking about this story, and the listeners tell me that he is, in fact, the adopted Mexican one, Kevin. That's the one we
okay.
were trying to...
Right.
We didn't know.
But looks like Ashley's got a new boyfriend, Jared Folwell of Kings of Leon.
Apparently, that's an upgrade.
She spent some quality time with Jared last Tuesday night, and
producer Alex just took her life.
Spies were saying they looked very cozy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
So good for her.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Finally got somebody who knows what to do with it.
You know what? You know what's funny is that there's no possible way she could have taken a step down. Wherever she went next, step up. Better.
Well, I don't know what that.
Please.
Goto?
Yeah, really.
I mean, okay, all right.
Armenian comedian?
Point
I mean,
taken.
There's a lot. You can beer mug, for Christ's sake.
Hey!
I withdraw my comment.
Say, is he in the room?
He is, yeah.
Come out to see me and Kevin Smith tonight do Hollywood Babylon. It's going to be me plus Cold Medicine plus Jack Daniels.
All right.
I guarantee you something's going to explode.
Ralph?
Either my liver or my brain or my heart.
There are a lot of different kinds of drunk. There's angry drunks. There's sleepy drunks. There's funny drunks. Ralph is a funny. He gets way more funny even than he is now when he's drunk.
I appreciate that. I hope that's true. I don't really remember anything about those moments. But you can go to BabylonRalph.com for more details. But it's tonight at 10 p.m. If you want to come out and see us, we'd love to have you. Celebrity birthdays. Actress Vanessa Williams is 48 years old today. It seems like just yesterday I was looking at lesbian pictures of her in Penthouse Magazine. When she was Miss America. Remember that big controversy?
That's right.
She won the Miss America contest, and then those pictures were published, and they stripped her of her crown.
Yeah, that was
dumb. They said, you'll never work in this town again.
That never made sense to me.
Best thing that ever happened to her.
Yeah, true.
And she's about 2 million times hotter now than she was when she was Miss America.
Yeah. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 45 years old today. Rapper, actress Queen Latifah celebrates her 41st birthday. Dane Cook is 39. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got some April Foolishness news for you later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jenny Moore is going to be joining us. Also, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat. That's all coming up right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is, after all, Friday.
Stop it. Stop Friday. Doing that.
It's going to be a hit. Oh, everyone loves it. I love it so much. I play it for my dog Linus when he's getting his massages.
Okay.
That's a puppy spa.
What is up with Linus and the massages? Bean has... How many dogs do you have, Bean?
Too many. Too goddamn many.
Only five. That's all I own. I'm
five
down to five.
Dogs.
That's all I've got. I'm hardly a hoarder. I just have five. And one of them is 12 and one of them is 14. So I've added, you know, they've been around for a long time.
All right. Which one gets the massage?
No one gets a massage.
Which one's getting the Eastern medicine treatments?
Look.
Which one's getting feng shuied?
Hear my whole thing. And I got...
feng shui tonight, by the way.
I got torn up, and only Lisa has my back on this, but I got torn up in the office.
Of course the pet parent has your back.
Well, what you can.
You do what you can to help out your animals. Look, here's the thing. Linus, I love him so much. He's an English bulldog. He's 2.5, and he has hip dysplasia, and he's got some other problems that are not unusual with that breed, okay? So he's already, even at a young age, even as a puppy, he's already starting to have some trouble going upstairs and whatnot. So, I mean, I want him to have... No, he's 2.5.
Why do you buy defective dogs to begin with?
Most of this breed has effed up hips, so I love them, so I buy many of them because they're all hung up. Why do you buy some healthy dogs instead?
Have health problems.
You're going to have five. Oh, I like the breed that's deaf and drools a lot. Do you have one of those?
No, but I would love to have a Dalmatian one day. But anyway, so Linus, and the other bulldogs are fine, by the way. No problem with the test, but Linus is having some trouble with his back legs.
dentist get a pedicure or just a manicure?
No, he doesn't. So here's what happens. So we, you know, we take him to the vet and we have him on, we give him the fish oil, we give him the glucosamine, we're doing everything we can for his diet and whatnot. But it was suggested to us that acupuncture might help Linus with his back legs.
On a dog.
On a dog. And so we have somebody that we've used in the past with other animals, and she is also a veterinarian, by the way, a Western medicine veterinarian, but she also practices Eastern medicine as well. So we started taking Linus about 6 months ago for acupuncture, about once every 6 weeks or something like that, and it makes a big difference.
Well, it does.
It really makes a big difference. Helps him.
I'm sure Linus is now dancing ballet.
What's the downside?
Does he do the cha-cha up the stairs now?
What's the downside of taking Linus in for acupuncture? It's not terribly expensive. It's about every 6 weeks or so, and it makes him feel better.
It makes you feel better because you think it makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
I put myself in Linus's place, and I think, I don't understand why my owner is taking me someplace where they're stabbing me with knives. What's happening right now?
Well, that's how they take care of themselves in the wild, Kevin. You know that. You know, wild dogs often stop by the wilderness to get pine cones stuck into their ribs.
Why would he bring me here? I don't like this.
How often do you take him to see Dr. Placebo?
Look, let me ask you this, Ralph. Have you had acupuncture?
I never have had acupuncture.
Okay. No. I was never a believer of acupuncture. I'd never, ever had any occasion to go until I started having serious back troubles in recent years. And, I was hurting. I was in nonstop pain all the time. Acupuncture, I feel, saved my life. I really do. It made such an unbelievable difference.
That's another strike against acupuncture.
In how my back felt, I couldn't even believe it. I don't pretend to understand how it works. All I know is how much better it made me feel. So, yeah, I was open to the idea that maybe, because there's no reason why it shouldn't work on a dog the same way it works on a human.
Dogs and humans are exactly the same.
You understand at the time why they were poking you with needles?
Well, certainly. Okay. Yeah, of course.
It's not painful.
Therein lies the difference.
But it's not painful. It's not painful.
I didn't like it at all.
It's a tiny little prick, as you can identify with Kevin.
Hey.
But it's not the type of thing that is going to hurt Linus. I mean, he may be confused for a minute, but it's worth it if then for weeks afterwards he has much greater mobility.
I'm sure it is. No, this is a wise choice on your part. You are not the least bit indulgent when it comes to your dogs. I stand corrected.
Okay. Yeah. If it makes him feel better and I have the capacity to be able to do it, I say why not? That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, and he's going to be on a therapist's couch sometime in the future. I don't know what happened, but that dude used to stab me with needles.
I think aromatherapy should be next. I think you've got a lot going for you. I think it's a good idea. I'm now in favor of it.
Kevin, why haven't you ever had acupuncture?
I have, but I'm afraid of needles, so I'm a real pussy when it comes to that.
It's not going
to
work for you.
It seems like the type of thing. I mean, you've had more back problems than anyone I know. It seems like the type of thing you would have certainly tried.
I have tried it, but I couldn't relax enough. Because I was getting stuck with needles.
Okay,
but that's my fear, and maybe that's what I'm projecting onto your dog, but at least I know why it's happening.
I think that's exactly. I mean, the way I've described it, it makes sense, though. If it makes him feel better for weeks afterwards, why not take him and do it, right?
Listen, I'm down with you, but what we decided to do, because I don't really understand this, is we had our producer, Alex, get us the acupuncturist on the phone.
Huh?
Which
excellent.
You're kidding. Yeah. Dr. Donna is going to be joining us?
Yeah, so we can actually ask her about, what's going on.
Hi, Doctor. Kevin and Bean Show here. You're on the air.
Hi-ho.
This doesn't sound like Donna.
No, I'm sorry. Donna can't get to the phone right now.
Who's this?
This is Linus.
Linus Baxter.
Hi.
This is Bean's dog?
Yes. How are you?
Linus.
We're good.
Where are you? I thought you were down.
A little bit to the right. Oh, God, that's good.
What's happening right now?
I'm here at the spa. I'm getting some treatments.
At the spa? I didn't send you to the spa.
Oh, the heck you didn't.
What kind of spa treatments are you having,
Linus?
Well,
first I go in for the acupuncture, which is fab-boo.
Okay.
It's taken years off my life.
That's great. That's good to hear.
And those are dog years, too.
Sure, much longer.
So I go from that, then I get some aromatherapy.
Okay.
I get some lavender.
Lavender.
Oh, so relaxing.
Now, is this a dog spa?
It is,
or is it a people spa? Okay.
Yes, it's a dog spa / ashram.
I didn't know anything about any of this.
Oh,
I'm so confused. I thought you were downstairs asleep in the kitchen.
No, I came in for the acupuncture, then the aromatherapy, then I get an herbal wrap.
An herbal wrap?
Yes.
That seems extreme for a dog.
No, it's wonderful. They wrap you in seaweed and sea salt, And it's amazing, and it's so much better when you go to lick yourself. You just a great taste. It's fantastic. And then I'm going to get rolfed.
What? What is that?
Rolfing is a deep, penetrating massage.
Okay.
Then I'm going to get the Reiki.
What's the Reiki?
That's just where they use the energy, where the Dr. Donna uses her energy to heal me.
Okay.
Wow,
this is starting to sound a little creepy.
Oh, I don't remember paying for all of this.
Fantastic. It's amazing. And I feel so much better afterwards that I can actually go back to Bean's house and put up with him.
I see. So you need this break.
Yes. This is like a little mini vacation for me.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, this masseuse is one hot bitch.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the movie Bean. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
A lot of movies in Cineplexes this weekend. Let's start with something that's in limited release. A movie I've been looking forward to seeing for some time now. It's called Win-Win with Paul Giamatti and Amy Ryan. Giamatti plays a disheartened attorney who also moonlights as the high school wrestling coach in a small town. And through a series of mishaps, he stumbles across a star athlete that will not only turn his school's wrestling team around, but also changes his family as well. They take this boy in and they sort of adopt him as their own. And then his mother shows up out of rehab and starts to derail everything in his family and in his situation. It's funny. It looks touching as well. I love Paul Giamatti. Love Amy Ryan. Here's a scene from Win-Win where Giamatti is trying to convince his wife not to commit just a sheer act of violence.
Did she go down?
Yeah, she passed right out. How's he doing?
He's upset. I don't blame him. It's weird she shows up like that.
Yeah.
And of course she's late. The druggie.
Honey, can you stop with the druggie thing, please?
What? She's a druggie.
I understand that.
You're going to talk to her, right?
Yes, I intend to, if you don't punch her first. Okay. That's her.
It's not my fault if I punch her.
You know what? It is.
Sweet. It is your fault if you punch her. Amy Ryan, of course, from The Office, plays Steve Carell's girlfriend on that show. She's great actress. Yeah. Also opening up this weekend, The Lincoln Lawyer, Matthew McConaughey, stars as he's a criminal defense attorney who may be on the shady side. Does it mostly for the money. Doesn't really care about who's innocent and who's guilty. But his conscience gets the best of him during one case, and it turns out to be a little trouble for Matthew. Ryan Phillippe also stars in this. Marissa Tomei, William H. Macy. Here's a scene from the movie where William H. Macy is consulting with lawyer Matthew McConaughey.
So he's not just getting off on killing women. It's seeing somebody else do the time. That's his M.O. What did Martinez say?
Not for me to know. I gotta find another way.
What you gotta do is find a way to put Roulet in Renteria's apartment the night she was murdered. That's what you
find a way to make it right, Frank. Gotta make it right.
Well, you can't bring it to the cops because he's your client.
Any evidence we found would be inadmissible. Attorney-client privilege, it would ruin any case they could ever have against him.
You got one client in jail for what your other client did.
Be a lot cooler if he did.
Now, do I understand correctly that this attorney's office is the back of a Lincoln? He works out of a car?
He works out of his car.
And yet you call him shady.
He deals only in cash. You give him an envelope full of cash, and that's how he represents you.
That's awesome.
Also opening this weekend, Paul. It's between Paul and y'all. That's what I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you like to take that back right now?
I sure would. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost star as two British comic book geeks who are traveling across the U.S. And, of course, they have to stop by Area 51. Because that's where all the sci-fi geeks go. Because that's where the aliens are being held, right?
Sure.
We all laugh. Until they encounter an actual alien by the name of Paul, who becomes their new companion as they board their RV and they find themselves trying to help Paul escape federal agents. Here's a scene where Simon Pegg, who plays Graham in the show, agrees to help Paul, voiced by Seth Rogen.
Are you an alien?
To you I am, yes.
Are you going to probe us? Why does everyone always assume that? What am I doing? Am I harvesting farts? How much can I learn from an ass?
I'm sorry. If you don't help me, I could die on this road tonight.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Help me grab him. This man's peed his pants.
Mm-hmm. This looks funny. It does look funny. I love these two guys, and I love Seth Rogen. So,
Bill Hader, one of the other stars in the film, by the way, is going to be joining us next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
See, it just gets better. Great cast. Seth Rogen, as I mentioned. Jane Lynch is also in it. Bill. Jason Bateman.
Yep.
Great casting, Paul.
Also opening up this weekend, Limitless. Bradley Cooper stars as a writer who's he's a bit of a dimwit, but he discovers a top-secret drug that it's a pill, and when you take it, it enhances your intellect and other abilities. It helps you use all of your brain, as opposed to the 10% scientists tell us that we ordinarily use. As the usage begins to change his life, he becomes the target of a conspiracy. He discovers the shadowy origins of the drug, and a group of killers are trailing his every move. His life gets pretty complicated the smarter and smarter he gets. Here's Bradley Cooper, who plays Eddie in Limitless, who has questions about the drug.
Creative problems, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose I can help you with that.
Oh, no.
You don't even know what it is.
What's in it?
They've identified these receptors in the brain that activate specific circuits. And you know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain? Well, what this does, it lets you access all of it.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound good.
He gets smart, and he gets rich, and he gets hot babes, and he gets fit, and he gets starts speaking different languages.
But he also looks like Bradley Cooper to start, which is
doesn't
bogus.
Hurt. Yeah. So Limitless is in theaters everywhere this weekend. Now, don't be confused, because this is an odd weekend. Don't be confused by Limitless. Don't confuse it with another movie called Limited, which stars our own Kevin Ryder. That also opens up this weekend, too. So here's the
Kevin,
trailer.
You got a movie, Kevin?
I don't know what
here's
you're
the trailer,
about.
Just so you can differentiate. There's Limitless with Bradley Cooper, and then there's Limited with Kevin Ryder.
And that is, he's definitely afraid of bananas.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely bringing those with us. Don't worry.
So he's got like a phobia. So if people in the audience just bring bananas, we could really do something good here.
Wow, that'd
be if everyone brings bananas and when he walks out, just sets don't throw anything.
Right.
Just calmly stand up and set bananas on the stage. He'd say, "What the hell is that, mate?"
Who's afraid of bananas? That's weird.
Just Jim Jeffries. Yeah. That's it. Listen, I don't know if you feel bad or not, Jay.
I do.
But why don't you know that? He just said he
feels
bad.
I believe him.
I wanted him to not. I don't want Jay to feel bad. Don't feel bad. It's only the tickets were only sold to raise money for wounded war veterans. So don't worry about backing out. It's not that big a deal.
Sweet. Okay.
Well, you know what? If I spoke about my charities, you might take that back.
Yeah.
Because no, Buddy Hackett once told me, "Don't talk about that." I said, "Why not?" He goes, "Because what you remember, God forgets, and what you forget, God remembers."
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our first Buddy Hackett impression of the year. All right. So
the news. Nagasaki, where the women shoot a bucky and the men say, woo, wacky, woo.
The news is bad. Jay Mohr is not going to be at April Foolishness this year. It's still an unbelievable lineup, and I promise you'll still have a great time. And, Jay, I know that you would have made it if there was any way that you could, but you're just physically going to be 3,000 miles away. There's nothing you can do about that. But we'll be excited about seeing you on the Law and Order.
I'm bummed out, man. Get that stuff up on the web as quick as possible so I can see everybody's sets, okay?
Nope, not going to do that.
What?
Just because of you. Just because of you, my friend.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin Bean Show for Friday. What's going on?
I've got tickets to give away.
That sounded natural.
To the red carpet world premiere of Sucker Punch. It happens at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Wednesday, March the 23rd. If you'd like to go, the first two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be able to attend the premiere of Sucker Punch, brought to you, of course, by Zack Snyder. One of my favorite directors, gave you 300 and The Watchmen. This thing looks awesome.
Can't wait.
In theaters everywhere, March the 25th, in case you don't win your tickets. Charlie Sheen's back in the news.
All right.
I know you guys are talking to Bill Hader next from Saturday Night Live. Maybe the funniest Charlie Sheen impression going these days is Bill's
work. I agree.
He's got another bunch of dates announced on his concert tour. Charlie Sheen Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth. Defeat is not an option tour. Just trips right off the tongue, doesn't it?
It really does. That's a super name.
Can't wait to see the concert tees. You have to wear like a burka or something to fit all that on there.
Are the Droopy Armless Children opening for Charlie? Does it say?
It doesn't say what the opening act is, but I know that he is also appearing in Atlantic City now, Washington, D.C., Georgia, in Atlanta, Tampa, Florida, Sunrise, Florida, Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, and San Francisco, California also added to the tour. So.
All right. I know we don't have time for this here, but I would like to at another time talk about, we need to take bets as to what percentage of that tour he's going to finish. Mm-hmm. Because if people start booing him or he gets bad If he has a bad experience, he'll get two shows in and cancel the whole thing.
They're not going to boo him.
Oh, au contraire.
He's winning. Duh.
So another time, but...
But why would the reaction be any different than the hundreds of thousands of people that tuned in for his first Ustream broadcast and then realized he was boring and had nothing to say, so they just walked out? I mean, isn't that what's going to happen?
Yeah, but
people are just going to leave.
Yeah, but they're physically going to do that in front of him or yell at him or boo. I mean,
but if you're buying tickets for this event, don't you know exactly what you're going to get?
Which is
Charlie's Inane Rambles, right?
I would buy tickets to boo.
You would, sure.
I would, honestly, I would.
You would put a laser pointer in his eyes and have to be escorted out.
Well, that's happened, but not with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I'll be interested to talk to somebody who's seen the first show.
Yeah, me too.
I think happens the second and third, the same weekend we're doing the April Foolishness.
I'm so not interested because he just hasn't said, he says the same things over and over.
Look, I find him boring now too, but look.
I hear Jay Moore is one of his special guests on that Saturday night, April 2nd.
What?
He's going to be there, yeah.
What? But he just...
At all.
Matthew Morrison of Glee is in the news. I find his honesty refreshing. He said when he found out that he'd been cast in a musical comedy on Fox about kids singing and dancing, he said, damn, I just got a 3-year lease on a car and I'm totally going to regret that. He thought he'd be out of work in about 3 episodes.
Well, those shows are not popular automatically. I mean, that's a tough genre to make work.
I can't remember a musical on television that's worked, quite frankly, before this.
They're few and far between, and they're usually huge failures.
It's a phenomenon, and now he can more than afford the lease on his car. So, congratulations. And speaking of kids singing and dancing, last night on American Idol, Karen Rodriguez was voted out.
No!
Was she your favorite, Kevin, really? You pulling for Karen?
I don't know who that is.
She was there along with Naima and Haley in the bottom 3 of voting. You know, it's funny, they give you the chance now every episode to sing one last time, and the judges get to decide whether they're going to save you or not.
The person that got kicked off.
The person that got kicked off. You're going home, but if you sing really well, maybe the judges will decide to keep you around.
That seems cruel.
It is very cruel.
Do they have to do the same song?
Yeah, they can pick any song that they've sung up to that point. Okay. And so this girl's just singing her heart out and staring at the judges, and judges aren't even looking, like talking to each other. What do you think? Should we keep her? No, I don't think so. No. Sorry, not this time, girlfriend.
Wow.
They send her home. It's always fun to watch her lose twice.
Don't you think that Karen might have gone further had she brought up a few times that she was Latina?
She should have brought that up. Yeah,
she should have mentioned that and sang most of her songs in Spanish. That would have been better.
She sang all of her songs in Spanish and kept saying America needs a Latina American Idol.
All right, well,
maybe
they
smart.
Do,
she was going for the Latino vote, you know?
Sure.
But apparently they don't have either phones or televisions. I don't know what the problem is.
That
but.
Explains all those sad people in sombreros.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vanessa Williams is 48 years old today. What was her biggest deal recently? Ugly Betty, I guess, right? She was on that show.
Yeah.
Jerry Kent.
And Desperate Housewives, too, I think. Wasn't she on also?
I believe so.
Pops and buzzes here, kid. I got no idea. I don't watch either of those shows. So. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, 45 years old today. Queen Latifah is 41. Comedian Dane Cook is 39 years old. And Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 32 years old today. Kevin, I keep forgetting. Did you want us to not give love to Maroon 5 or to give love to Maroon 5? I know you have a very strong opinion about that.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Oh, that's right. Give some love to Maroon 5.
I was announcing for the Grammys, and Ralph came up to me afterwards. He's like, why do you do that? You hate every one of those bands.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking. I was like, yeah, he's right. I really do.
Because you're good at it. Because you have so much natural talent as an announcer. Thank you.
If we have some time in the next hour.
We'll play
some outtakes of Kevin recording his announcing for the Grammys.
We'll see
why they don't ask him back anymore.
Very busy. Bill Hader coming in studio.
See?
Those guys are coming.
That's enough, right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, I gotta grab this. It's my cousin. He talks like Gizmo from Gremlins.
So if you're like me, a busy guy and a pre-op transsexual in his 3rd month of hormone treatment, you need an estrogen supplement that works for your schedule.
The day of your gay wedding.
I have sex with Mick.
Oh, you liked it, so you put a ring on it.
All new hotspot that answers the question, what?
Deal with it. Sorry, Middle America. Losers winning. Bye-bye.
I have sex with Mick.
I'm a huge fan of Bill Hader, huge fan of his work on SNL and all the many movies, and it's a thrill to welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show. Although, Bill, I got to be honest, as much as I love you on SNL, every character you do is a little bit creepy, and I think that's you. I think that's coming from you, my friend.
You think he's bringing that to the table?
Doesn't matter. He could be the happiest guy in the world doing a sketch. Something's creepy about it because it's Hader. I don't know how that happens, but welcome, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Can you hear okay?
No, right? He can't.
Yeah.
That's the problem, Eric.
I sent Beer Mug over there. I said, make sure he can hear. He knows where the volume is. And he goes, thumbs up.
Beer Mug is always the wrong guy to send in for a situation like this.
Yeah. Give us just a second. Sorry.
Hello. There I am.
Hey!
Hello.
He's back. Bill Hader is in town because he is, because he can be, because he's on hiatus from the SNL for a little while. And he's promoting the movie Paul, which opens up everywhere today. So congratulations on that. That looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. It was great.
We've done that before. It's really fun. We went out to Area 51, and we tried to look for flying saucers. We spent the night there. We were out all night. And then we eventually drove to the front gate. Did you do that during
any
of the filming?
No. I didn't get to do any of that stuff. I heard about it from Simon and Nick.
We drove to the front gate, and there were a bunch of signs saying federal property, stay off. But it was late, and we were giddy. And so we went up to the front gate, and we were like, hey, show us your aliens. And all of a sudden, like, all these cop cars were coming out. Stuff and we just turned and ran. But
I hadn't thought about that for a long time, Kevin. This was many, many years ago, Bill, when we used to care and do stuff for the show. But we thought it would be funny just to go out to see what would happen. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Area 51 is out in Nevada, and there's nothing for like 100 miles in either direction, right? And Kevin's absolutely right. We were in pitch black darkness at like 3 a.m., and all of a sudden it was like the president had landed because there were 400 cop cars, helicopters, everything. I mean, they are serious about their security out there because they didn't want us to find Paul. That's what's going on.
That's what it is.
So wow. Seth Rogen voices the alien of Paul. You're in the movie along with Jason Bateman. You mentioned Simon and Nick, of course. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are always hilarious. Your SNL co-star Kristen Wiig is in the movie. Sigourney Weaver, Jane Lynch. Unbelievable cast. And I want it to be as fun as the trailer is. Please tell me honestly. Is it?
Yes.
It is as fun as the trailer. Thanks for stopping by.
Bye, everyone.
No, hey, listen, that's a huge problem because you could make almost any movie look great in a trailer. And then the drop-off sometimes is
disappointing. Or you see the trailer and you know, like you see a moment from the trailer and you're watching the movie and you're like, oh, okay, I haven't seen that moment yet. I'm sure that's the ending. And there it is, the last shot of the movie.
My favorite is when you see something in the trailer and then it's not in the movie. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
But this looks funny, and it's got a great cast, like we were saying. You got to work with Jason Bateman, who's just one of our favorite guys.
Oh, he was great. He was such a nice guy. His rap gift we gave him as his rap gift was a signed Teen Wolf 2 poster.
Nice.
Sweet. Nice.
With a bunch of wolf puns on it.
Is it, with the schedule on Saturday Night Live, you guys, it's a great gig because you get to do something different every week. You get to work with different people every week, and it also seems like the schedule allows a guy like you who wants to go off and make a couple movies a year to still be able to do that too.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I shot, Superbad and a couple other things during the season.
That's
cool. you would shoot for 1 week, do 2 weeks on the show, and then you would have a week off and you would go to, go shoot the movie, go back, and you would just go back and forth. And
you must be confused a lot as to where you are and who you are with, like, what day is it and what character am I playing?
I'm confused a lot and I don't have your schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awkward on Superbad when I showed up doing Vincent Price. Yeah,
is Saturday Night Live just an exhausting job? Is it the time? It just seems like because you're doing 90 minutes of live television a week that it would just wring you out. You and obviously a lot of other talented people who contribute to the show, but it just seems like the pressure is enormous because you know when you show up on Monday, hey, whether it's good or not, we've got to put something on the air Saturday night.
Yeah, that Lauren quote of we don't go on because we're ready, we go on because it's 11:30,
Yeah.
And it's
same with us.
It's nerve-wracking, yeah. It's my sixth season and you kind of just get into a nice groove where you can kind of you just know how to make it work. I'm not as freaked out, but you see some of the newer people come in and it's a little bit more like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming.
So you've been there for 6 years,
yeah.
And Charlie Sheen comes out, and now is this the kind of thing where everybody just looks at you, or does everyone on the cast go, I can do Charlie, I can do, and then everybody's doing the hallway? And
no, it was more like,
say, hey,
we watched. No,
off,
I didn't say it was mine so much as Seth Meyers, the head writer of the show, and co-wrote the Dell winning sketch, actually came over and said, hey, you know, you should go work on a Charlie Sheen. And I was like, okay. You know,
I don't know what it's like as far as pitching voices and whatever.
No, he'll come over and say, you should work on Charlie Sheen. So I went and watched, you know, the 2020
right?
thing. Yeah.
He was a gift.
and then you go back in and go, how about this? And he's like, yeah, go work on it.
But it is true, though, and I didn't realize this till the sketch, that the Wayans brothers built the pyramids, right? That happened.
Yeah, that did happen.
That is official, right? I guess I always wondered about Seth Meyers because he obviously is enormously talented, and I see that he's listed as the head writer, but you almost always only just see him doing the Weekend Update. But that's his job, is kind of off-camera the rest of the week to kind of channel you guys in the right direction?
Yeah, and especially like newer writers and people. I mean, newer writers, I do it. You know, you write something, and you'll go take it into his office and go, hey, man, you know, is this funny? I mean, what do you think about this? And he'll look at it, you know, I like that. But, he'll give you notes and things like that. You know, he's very generous. That guy, we work, you know, incredibly hard, all of us. But then you just look over at Seth and you go, well, I don't know. I mean, that guy's working harder than anybody. He's working so hard.
He's ruining the curve. He needs to be right with everyone else. Have you ever written, brought it to him, and you are convinced that it's great? I mean, this is better than I've written in 3 weeks. And he goes, go work on it. And then you come back, and then you go, I'll go work on it. And you go, so what's wrong with it?
Yeah, right. No. Sometimes he'll say, we'd have other, you know, great, right, you know, Steve Higgins. There's other people you kind of pitch stuff to. And then they'll be like, no. And then they'll go, you know, it's never like, don't do it. It's always like, well, try it.
Try it
on Wednesday. And then you do it on the table read on Wednesday. And it plays to silence, and then you kind of look over, you make eye contact, like, you were right, touche, sir, I'm sorry.
Check that one off.
Check that one off the schedule. How many sketches make the show come Saturday night, Bill?
I don't know. I guess it depends. We just did the Zach Galifianakis show, and it wasn't a lot of sketches when you actually looked at it. I mean, usually we pick like 13, and then you whittle it down to... eight or something like
that's
that.
That's what I figured. It's probably around eight or so. And how many do you, throughout the course of the week, how many are worked on? You know, even if it's only for a little while before the idea is discarded. I mean, is it 15? Is it 30? Is it 50?
Oh, no, it's, we do our table read. It's usually around 40 to 45 sketches.
Wow.
That's a long table read.
On Wednesday, yeah. We read through 40 to 45 sketches on Wednesday. And then after that, on Wednesday night, from those 40 to 45, Lauren, Seth, some of the other writers, the host, go through them all, and then out of that comes like 13 that we block. But on top of that, we do all the pre-tape stuff, which is a totally different thing, like the digital shorts, a commercial parody. So you have like kind of all these different units happening after Wednesday.
So they take all of the sketches, and then either white smoke or black smoke comes out of the chimney. And then you know,
exactly. Okay, and then sometimes you'll do stuff and they'll add something back that initially didn't make it, make the Wednesday cut, and then you'll come in on Friday and then you're blocking something. They decided to add it, you know, like the host.
The host will
be like, oh, you know what? I know we didn't do it, but I've been thinking about it. I like that scene. You know, the host has a lot to say. The host has a lot to say about it. And then you go, oh, well, we're going to try that, you know.
So Thursday and Friday, it sounds like, must be crazy, like 18-hour days, I bet, right?
I mean, everything. Yeah. I mean, Monday is a pitch meeting, and then you can write. Tuesday is the rough one. Tuesday, for especially the writers, is, you know, people show up at 1, and then you're there until, you know, some people are there until 2 in the afternoon the next day. You're just there.
Wow.
You're there for a 20, 25, 26-hour period
meth
writing.
At the meetings?
Craziness? No. People sleeping in people's offices. Everybody has, like, pajamas and stuff in their offices. And like
that's
just,
better for some people than others.
Yeah.
You know. Fascinating. Well, we have many more questions about that. And, of course, we'll talk some more about Paul. The movie opens everywhere today. So excited about that. And our guest as well. Bill Hader is here. More with him right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Actor Bill Hader in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is part of a phenomenal ensemble cast in a new film opening up everywhere called Paul. Are you and Jason Bateman, your characters are working together in the movie?
Yeah. Well, he kind of has to, reluctantly takes me and Joe Latruglio on. We're like kind of junior FBI agents.
You're the new guys?
Yeah. And we're kind of in the long tradition of guys in suits chasing the protagonists, like Midnight Run and all those kind of movies.
I know someone's brought it up earlier this week with other guests from the movie, but now I can't remember. Are you working with an actual with something that looks like a puppet, something playing the alien, or is all that all added afterwards?
It's all added afterwards. I mean, there is there's a little person who like puts on a costume for some things. It really is.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I was
there
joking.
Really is. And then a little a stuntman's like 9-year-old son put on a costume. But mostly it's nothing's there. I mean, it's just but to be honest, me and Joe Latruglia, we didn't really get to act that much with it because we're the guys chasing it.
Oh, so you never really. Right.
We're kind of like, it was like little scenes, you know, but there's nothing there. It was just like a little, you know, but you do like 5 or 6 passes at it. You do once with nothing there. You do once with like a little guy there. Then you'll do it once with like this weird like, you know, globe thing that reflects light so the guys can see how their light.
Why would you do that?
You just do it over and over and over
again. Why?
Just so they have different passes at it. So when the guys are doing the digital effects and they load it all in, they go, well, you know, we have this, we have that. And they lay all those shots.
It makes more sense once they know what it looks like.
Yeah.
You mean?
They lay all those shots over on top of each other. It's weird.
Tell me what you think about this, Bill. We have a friend, Aisa, we all know, except for you. And she went to see Paul. She went to a screening this week and loved it. But now she wants to go back and see it stoned. Do you know where she's coming from? is it a great movie to see high?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I have not seen it.
Or is that just her? I think that's her policy on every movie.
That might be policy on every film. Yeah. Eat, Pray, Love. She was like, I want to go back. I want to go back to that thing stoned.
I was so high for the fighter. It was awesome. All right. I hate to do this to you, but I'm such a fan and such a big SNL fan, too. I have to ask you a couple more questions. I have a theory that no matter what season it is of Saturday Night Live, there are a certain number of people who are always going to hate on it. And those same people 5 years later are going to look back on the season that they're now hating on and say, it was so much better back then.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah, that always happens. Yeah, that always happens.
And do you guys, I mean, especially in the age of the internet, you can wake up, as I often do, on Sunday, and there's dozens of websites that deconstruct every minute of SNL and talk about what was good, what was bad, what worked, what didn't, best sketches, worst sketches. Do you ever look at any of that, or do you not care week to week?
I used to have my Sunday coffee on that and just sit online and look at what people thought about the show. And then after a while,
How long did you torture yourself?
I did that for the first, it was my sixth season. I did that for the first 4 seasons. Every Sunday, we'd go on and look on and see what people thought. And it was just like, huh, okay. Okay, I get, well, that's interesting. You know what I mean? And then after a while, you just kind of be like, oh, yeah, it doesn't, the longer you kind of saw it, it was exactly what you're saying. You're like, oh, those people are like, wait, you bashed this. I know you didn't like whatever sketch, and now you're like, well, why wish they did those now? And it's the same person, and you're kind of like, oh, whatever.
It's too depressing. It's too depressing, I would think, because it's really only the complainers that go.
I had a guy who had a whole website about me called The Ballad of Bill Hader, who every Sunday I would go on, and it would be about how horrible I was. And it was like, great episode, Bill was only in one sketch.
Oh my God. It was like, wow, so
angry. And then,
isn't America great?
Here's an interesting thing, to make a long story short, the interesting thing. I found out that guy was like a guy who drove me one day on a movie.
And you were a dick to him? Yeah,
No. After the fact, I got in the car and I'm talking to him. We're having a great conversation. And he goes, I do this website about blah, 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 blah. And then I click and I go, you don't do a thing called Ballad of Bill Hader because it was in association with this other movie site.
Right.
And his face just turned white like,
And did you say,
new driver? I go, is that what you did? And he was like, I'm just a big fan, man. You know? And I was like, oh, okay. And so I actually got to meet one of those anonymous people.
What are the chances of that?
How weird is that? I thought that was so fascinating.
I would have been afraid he wanted to kill me.
No, he was like, I'm just a big fan. And I was like, it doesn't seem like you're a big fan. I was like, I want to believe that you think that you're
everything
a big fan.
Everything I read seems like
everything
got a little
you read,
venom.
It seems like you really don't like me. And he's like, no, you know, it's just, and that taught me a thing. I was like, oh, yeah, you know. But I'll be honest, I, you know, 1996, whatever, I used to go on, like, movie blogs and stuff and read comments and comment, like, I didn't like this. But, you know, you get into that thing. And then, you know, I did it once or twice. And then you just go, I don't know, I got to go make stuff. Go do stuff.
You have a life.
What's it like, and I won't ask you to name any names, because let's face it, the quality of the host sometimes has a lot to do with the success of that week's episode. And this season, you've had some phenomenal hosts. Zach
Galifianakis obviously is always great. You had John Hamm back. I thought Miley Cyrus was very funny in her episode a couple weeks ago. But sometimes you get a host that you must realize pretty early in the week is a dog. And then what's that like that week when you're trying to figure out?
We tried it once. It did not work.
What's it like when you're trying to drag a host, you know, a host through a week when you know they just don't have the chops for it?
I haven't. I'm being totally honest. I've never experienced like the real horrible thing. You know, where like it's like a deer in headlights, and everybody's kind of looking at each other like, "How are we going to get?"
You haven't
through this
had
week?
James Franco at the Oscars yet, or anything that bad, right?
Right. And but you know, it was, you know, we've had some people who are nervous, or you'll have somebody who's great all week and then kind of gets nervous that first dress rehearsal.
Oh, interesting.
After dress rehearsal, when they go, oh wow, I'm about to be on live television, and you can see it kind of hits them, you know, and you kind of talk to them, and then, but they always kind of pull it out somehow, you know, they always work somehow. But
do you have
sometimes you just make them, you'll see that it's a big ensemble show maybe that week, you know what I mean?
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is do you have maybe other skits standing by, or do you minimize their role, or
I they're the host of the show and they have a lot, you know. I mean, the ensemble thing I just said also sometimes counts for amazing hosts too, you know, because like you said, John Hamm or Paul Rudd or any of those guys who come back, it's like everybody wants to be with that, you know, in a sketch with them, so the only way to do it is to have these big, you know, ensemble sketches, right. You know.
Well, I can't wait to see what y'all do with Elton John, and that's going to be your first show back. That's going to be on Saturday, April 2nd. That's the next new show. That is, I mean, that's a perfect example of why your job is so awesome, because now you're going to spend a week with a legend and really have a chance to have a lot of fun with him.
I know. It's amazing. I cannot wait to get to...
He seems to have a great sense of humor, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. And, you know, it's like you get to do that. I mean, Paul Rudd show, like Paul McCartney was there. I mean, it's like you just kind of, you know, Paul McCartney played the show, and then after the show ended, he went up and played like three songs.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and we were just like, you know, everybody went nuts. And you're like, my job is really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
If you find yourself like, what's happening to me right now?
What is happening right now?
I never predicted this.
Yeah.
And you get to do movies on the side like Paul, which opens up everywhere today. Please go out and see it, folks. Great cast. Looks like a very, very funny movie. Look, when I saw that Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were behind it, I said, I'm in. You can't go wrong with those guys.
Best.
Bill, so nice to have you on the show.
When you saw Bill's name, was that a plus or a minus? Well,
I was already in, just not as enthusiastically at that point.
Yeah. Okay, which guy is that? Is that MacGruber?
come back and see us sometime, Bill.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ralph has the Showbiz Beat in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show, and we'll catch up with Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park after the top of the hour. Right now, though, well, I guess before we go to her, we should say, last year when we called our friend Kat Corbett, who's the wonderful personality that follows us on the mighty Kevin Bean flagship station here in Los Angeles.
Mighty.
Last year we called her, and what was the deal, Kevin? Of course, I was on vacation. I missed the call. But was she drunk? Was she asleep? Was she high? Was she in jail? Where was she when you got her on the phone finally?
I don't know where she was, but I think the sound says it all. Hey, Kat.
And see, right there, we thought, she's having way too much fun. Way too much fun at South by Southwest in Austin. She's back again this year. We thought we'd find out how it's going for her. Hey, Kat, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my dear.
Oh, hi.
Yes! It's become an annual thing because basically we're just checking to see if she's still alive.
I got in like, I don't know, 5 a.m. right now, and I'm exhaling alcohol. It's so disgusting.
I do know that most of your tweets yesterday had to do with drinking, including at one point 1,000 bottles of wine was somehow involved in whatever. What was that? What was going on with you and the wine and the strokes last night?
We had a dinner in a private wine room. Bunch of, you know, industry wankers hanging out.
And was that fun?
And it was fantastic. And then they had
Want to play a game?
They had a party bus to the Strokes.
That's what I have every weekend. Party bus to the Stroke.
Listen to Kat. I just want her to talk a lot.
No, isn't it funny?
Seriously, I think it's from screaming at Duran Duran last night. Because they did, like, Girls on Film and all this stuff in a small warehouse.
I'm sorry, what songs did they do?
Girls on Film.
Uh-huh.
Rio.
You just try to keep her talking? Is that what's going on here?
It's funny because we had a conversation about today's show, and we said, oh, we're going to have Matt Pinfield, and we're going to talk about South by Southwest. Isn't having Kat on doubling up? You know, we don't really need to talk about it twice. I was like, I don't think she's going to talk much about the actual weekend. We just need to make sure she's alive
and then touch base, and then it's Catwatch 2011, and then, you know, we'll check on Saturday, and then hopefully she'll make it back.
Kat, you sound like that woman who used to be in the commercial, the anti-smoking commercial at the Holden.
Yes. Yes, you do. But you're way hotter, if that helps.
Not right now, I'm not, trust me.
You are taking your video as usual, and you're going to edit it together and put it online?
Oh, hell no, that's too much work.
Oh, really?
I've been posting, I did a photo gallery yesterday, and I'm going to post another one, but I don't know if I have time. I have such a full day today.
Yeah, I know. You got to drink, and then from there, you have to go drink.
You guys got my wake-up call. I have a brunch with Chris Wallace from Death Cab for Cutie in like half an hour, and I'm still in bed.
You have a brunch Death Cab for Cutie. What's happening?
I feel like we're playing Mad Libs right now. How many bands did you see yesterday? I know that you saw the Vaccines. You saw Foster the People. You saw the Strokes. You saw Duran Duran. Did you make it to Bad Brains, too?
I didn't. HR will have to go on without me. But,
all right. Is that all you saw? It was just four yesterday?
No. A slew. It's just not, I can't, like, you know, text while I'm watching everything. MC Rutt, who we're spinning, those two dudes blew my mind last night.
Uh-huh.
It was like early Jane's Addiction with just two dudes.
Oh, that's cool.
It was fantastic. And AWOL Nation, this band called the Kids of 88. Who I think about in New Zealand, who I think are going to be something fantastic. And
like we said earlier today, man, you walk 10 feet in Austin this weekend and you see another band. It's an unbelievable scene. Now, we asked Matt Pinfield this earlier, and I have to ask you also, Kat, because you've been going to South By for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is it officially too big now?
No, I'm not
for
one of
the venue.
People who's like bothered by it. I say the more the merrier.
Right, but at some point, you can't get in a club, you can't get a drink. It's clearly not your problem.
For someone like me that lives in Los Angeles, I've already seen the band that is full in the club that's full. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure, yeah. I got
you. I would rather than go see a band I've never seen before. So that doesn't bother me. I'm like, fine, I'll move along. You know.
Okay, because of the time change, you're what, in the Central? You're in Central time now? I want to be sure I understand. When is it margarita o'clock when you're in Texas?
Always. From the time she
by
lands.
By my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
From the time she lands until the time she leaves.
I've mixed every imaginable cocktail in an entire day.
I like that about you.
Wine.
I really do.
Mixed drinks, margaritas.
Because she knows it's going to destroy her, and yet she goes headlong right into it again each year. I love it.
She's fearless. She's completely fearless. All right. Well, listen, Kat, it sounds like once again you're having the time of your life. So we do have an office pool. I won't share it here because I don't want you to be influenced by it on who you want to win, but whether or not you're going to show up Monday morning back on the air.
Oh.
We have that office pool, and we have the dead or alive office pool.
I think I want to place a bet on the dead or alive.
Stay alive. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
I miss you guys.
Okay, bye.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, this may be the last broadcast he is well enough to perform on, but he's a trooper. Ralph Garman is here with the show Biz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I will make it. I promise.
Okay, you got another hour in you.
All right. Isla Fisher and Sacha Baron Cohen have been very secretive about the name of their new baby daughter. They don't want to tell anyone what the baby's name is.
Oh.
It's a secret. I guess they're trying to protect her from the press, but you know that just makes it more of a hunt.
Does.
You know that just whets the appetite for the press more if you announce that you're going to try to keep that a secret.
Because there's something in me that goes, it must be a bad name.
It isn't really.
Okay,
but they stirred up the press because they've announced they aren't going to say the baby's name. So now everyone is trying to find out what it is.
I'm not one of those people who needs to know that. Though.
No, I don't care
no
at all.
No one is.
Okay.
But if you announce to the press that you're not going to tell them something,
yeah.
The only thing that results in is the press doubling down their efforts to try to find out whatever it is you said you're not going to tell
I
them.
I guess. Yeah.
So if you're trying to get attention away from your baby,
that's not
you
working.
Just announce the baby's name and everyone says, oh, and then they move on with their lives.
And they forget it about 15 minutes later.
Right. Well, Us Weekly has finally uncovered the name of Isla and Sasha's baby. Her name is... Elula. Elula.
Excuse me?
Elula. Elula.
Spell, please.
E-L-U-L-A.
Language of origin?
Language of origin? Hebrew. Hebrew.
Are there any other pronunciations?
Nope. I don't even know if that's a pronunciation, the one I gave you.
Elula? Wow.
Elula. Elula.
All right.
Apparently, it's the Hebrew word for August, which is the month she was born in.
Okay.
So her name will be Elula Cohen. They got to give her something else.
Right?
I mean, their other three-year-old daughter is named Olive. That's something people can pronounce. This is my daughter, Olive, and Elula.
People will just call her Lulu, right? I mean, that's the closest thing you can pronounce.
Or Eli. Or Elu.
I'm guessing not Eli, but that's odd.
So, there. The mystery is solved. Uh-huh. Everyone go about your business.
Thank you, Ralph. I was not able to go on today until I found that out.
Heard you guys talking to your little friend, Kat Corbett, there in Austin, Texas.
Sort of talking to her, more just checking on her to make sure she's alive.
You know, they do a big movie deal there now at South by Southwest as well.
Right.
And Jodie Foster premiered her new movie, The Beaver, there. Starring Mel Gibson. She was asked at the screening if she had any regrets about casting Mel as the lead in her film, and she said no. She is grateful for his performance and thinks it's some of his best work.
You can't ask her that before the movie comes out.
Yeah, you really can't.
You just can't, because she has to say she's happy about it.
For those who aren't familiar with the story of The Beaver, Mel Gibson plays a severely depressed man who finds a beaver puppet and then uses it to communicate more easily with his family and friends.
Well, if he's playing crazy, you know, that might work.
At one point, the beaver calls up his ex-girlfriend, and you do not want to hear that phone call. It is not pretty.
Now, do you guys think there's a sizable amount of the movie-going audience who will stay away from that movie because they're boycotting Mel Gibson because of what he did, or
I don't think so. I think that's really ancient history, especially in the light of Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen has moved Mel right at the front page.
Okay, will a lot of people stay away because it's a guy who can only talk to a beaver hand puppet?
I think there's more of a chance of that happening than the former, yes. And speaking of movies, we now know it's official. Kevin Costner will play Superman's adopted father, Jonathan Kent, in the upcoming film Superman Man of Steel. Henry Cavill, of course, playing Superman, and Diane Lane as his mother.
Ooh.
The film's going to start shooting this summer, but the casting is in place. Still no word yet on the big villain. I wonder if Lex Luthor's going to be in it. So I'm going to know. Who's going to play Lex?
Is that the biggest villain in Superman?
That's the biggest Superman villain, yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vanessa Williams is 48 years old today. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 45. Queen Latifah celebrates her 41st birthday. Dane Cook is 39. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 32. I know I promised you some highlights of Kevin announcing at the Grammys.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
So. I don't think we have time, but in about 45 minutes, I promise you, we'll get a couple of them.
Love to do that.
We'll do it, Kevin. I know you love it. I'll be right. What? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday.
Stop it. Stop trying to sing that song.
I can't stop, man. I can't stop thinking about my little Rebecca Black song. I'm sorry. LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore for you coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we got to talk about Japan. Every day since it happened, we've been trying to do something throughout the morning to call our attention back to what's really important. That is the people in Japan. Devastating earthquake, an unheard of tsunami, now a potential nuclear meltdown that's causing some problems already. I mean, they're really in it right now. And there's always some people you can count on to step up. And our friends in Lincoln Park are in that short list of people who never let an opportunity to do good go past them. And that's why we're happy to welcome our friend Mike Shinoda from Lincoln Park back onto the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Hi, fellas. You make me sound like that was like a superhero introduction.
Yeah,
like
it was a little. I thought it was a little too strong.
I'm just saying that Lincoln Park has done more than their share for charity. That's all. Now, Mike, you are Japanese American, no?
That's right.
Where's what part of the country is your family from?
Well, we're actually from a southern part of the country, a really small town. But my family's lived here since my grandfather moved over. I think that was in maybe the 30s or 20s. So we're most of my family is in the U.S. But it's still definitely when we see, you know, this stuff on the news, it's really, really moving. It's really sad.
Yeah, of course. So what did you guys come up with?
So, well, last week we were talking about the stuff and I think one of the things that, as you know, our organization called Music for Relief has been doing, disaster relief for about 5 years, six actually now. And so we have a list of partners that we've already set up ties with and set up some ideas with, and so that stuff is already in place by the time, you know, something like this happens. We put some T-shirts up for fans to buy, so you can go over to to musicforleaf.org and check those out.
And you designed those?
Yeah, I did. I did. So the immediately I put up a couple designs on my website on mikeshinoda.com and asked fans basically to give me ideas for the shirts, give me ideas for which designs they wanted. And they responded. They told me which ones they thought were the best. And actually, it split between two designs. I was originally just going to do one, and they told me to do... basically, they voted, and it was like almost 50-50 for these two designs. So we put both up, and those are at musicforleaf.org. You can buy those, and 100% of our proceeds go through to Japan.
What is the significance of the white butterflies, what it looks like to me, on the T-shirt? Does that mean something, Mike?
Yeah, I wanted to do, somebody mentions doing, like I said, I was taking suggestions on Twitter, actually. And somebody suggests, a couple people suggested doing something, some kind of origami design. And I like that. I actually, as a kid, I grew up folding origami and stuff like that, and I thought the crane is a little bit it didn't really send the right message. That's not really for something like this, but a butterfly is traditionally one of the symbolic elements to that design is that it's a rebirth kind of design based on the caterpillar and going into the cocoon and coming out as a butterfly. So I thought that was really nice, and that's where that one came from.
How much of a geek were you as a kid doing origami?
Huge geek, but actually a lot of the origami part of it had nothing to do with it.
You were a geek in other ways?
I think the origami thing, actually, it's funny. I think a lot of Japanese Americans just do. I mean, that's just part of it. It's like, spam musubi is like a thing. And origami is like a thing. Like, by the way, have you ever had spam musubi? Do you know what that is?
No.
That's not a Japanese thing. That's like a Japanese American thing. Uh-huh. At least West Coast. I mean, my whole family. You put this stuff out, it's literally spam sushi. And especially, I think Hawaiian Japanese and those of us in California. I don't know what it is about this stuff, but you can have 100 dishes out at like a get together with family, and you put that stuff out, and it's gone in like 30 seconds.
But wait, is there a law saying you have to do that?
Yeah, there is. Okay. It's an unwritten Japanese American law.
Okay.
We're talking to Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park. Of course, you can go to musicforrelief.org, see the T-shirts that we're talking about with his design, and then you also, it seems like on this page, there's also the Linkin Park "Not Alone," one of your songs. There's a T-shirt like that too. Is that same deal?
Yeah, that design was inspired by we went to work in the aftermath of the Haiti earthquake situation there, and "Not Alone" was the name of the song that we wrote for that. We started actually that does relate to the situation in Japan. So we started a thing called "Download to Donate," and that was for Haiti, and we put a lot of a short list, like 10 or 12 songs up, and people could go and donate money, and they would get to download the songs. Well, "Download to Donate" was it was a really successful campaign. We brought in, I think it was in the 200, it was almost $300,000, $270,000 for Haiti.
Wow.
Actually, if you go to downloadtodonate.org, you'll see now you know it's a very streamlined system. You donate $10 and you can download any of the tracks in the library. There's like 65 or tracks or something like that. So basically, it's the most. It's like $10 to get an album with 60 songs on it is pretty awesome. That campaign, as I said, it was pretty successful for us, and we're a smaller organization, and that's a good chunk of money that we could send over to Haiti. So we're going to do a download to donate for Japan. There's a short list. We're still getting songs in from people for that album. But we do intend for it to be an ongoing thing. So far, we've got Linkin Park has an instrumental track on that record. Enrique Iglesias has a song. Angels and Airwaves are on it. And there's a handful of others. I'm looking for the list right now. I don't have it in front of me.
I got almost all those songs from Download to Donate for the Haiti thing, and you're right. Some of them were just tremendous. I mean, it's a win-win. You get a chance to give money, goes to a great cause, and you get some free music out of it, too. Or you get a great-looking T-shirt. You can go to musicforrelief.org, or you can go to Download to Donate. Is that also a .org or a .com, Mike?
That is a .org.
Dot org as well. Well, as I said when I brought you on, man, Linkin Park has done a lot for charity, a lot that your fans don't even know about, but we can always count on you to come up with something. This is a great idea, and Lord knows they need it. They got a long, long, hard road ahead of them over there in Japan.
Let me throw out one more thing I forgot to mention.
Sure.
If somebody wants to do something really quick right now while you've got your phone in front of you, you can text, actually, 85, text MFR. MFR is in Music for Relief for 85944, and that's a $10 donation.
Fantastic. We'll put that up on the website, too, as well. It's MFR to 85944.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Very cool, Mike. Thank you very much for coming on with us and telling us that, and have a good day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye now. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Ready for my least favorite moment of the whole week?
Ready for my favorite moment of the whole week?
We're both talking about LaQuisha reviewing last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. How are you, girlfriend?
Well, that's a fine how do you do.
I think he's talking about the show. Not,
uh-huh.
Yeah,
no reflection on you. No, I love you, LaQuisha. I love you.
When the black woman comes on, that's the least favorite moment for you. Is that what you're saying?
Only because you're talking about Jersey Shore,
uh-huh.
which I hate. That's it.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Jersey Shore last night, serious drama going on in that Shore house. I'm telling you, remember last week, Sammy and who's the big dummy meathead guy?
Vinny?
No, the other big dummy meathead guy.
Ronnie,
that's it. They're still having problems in their relationship because Ronnie found out that Sammy had give a text message to some boy while she was home.
Right.
And they try to meet up with her at the club. And so he confronts Sammy about it, and she has to apologize.
I completely understand how you're feeling right now. I understand. I'm sorry. Honestly, look at me. I'm sorry I hit him up.
So if a girl showed up looking for me,
I would kill her.
Well, that's a reasonable response.
I think they're a healthy couple.
And keep in mind that Ronnie was screwing around behind her back in Miami.
Yeah.
So how can he be upset about her? Well, trust me, he is.
I don't know how either of them could be upset with each other. They're both losers.
That's what I'm saying. They deserve each other.
Right.
They're a perfect couple.
Right.
And Dina, the latest person to move into the house this season, is a perfect match for everyone else because she is a stone-cold idiot. She got herself stuck in a cardboard box last night. She was laying around climbing drunk in a cardboard box and got stuck in it.
What, literally?
It's like in a spaceship.
It just so happens that Dina defies the law of intelligence.
Oh, stop. I can't breathe.
I never thought somebody would make Snooki look like a rocket scientist, but Dina takes the cake.
Cardboard box.
Yes, cardboard box. And for him to say she defies the law of intelligence?
Yes, that's true.
There is no law of intelligence. If there was, the police would be knocking on your door, carting your ass away situation.
Oh, good. I thought you were talking about me.
Not you. Well, you too. Absolutely. Now, Ron is still upset, like I mentioned about Sammy. So much so, it has shaken his basic beliefs about their relationship to the core.
I don't even know if I love Sam at this point. I'm just kind of, like, ew about her.
Yeah, when you get ew about somebody, that's the beginning of the end right there. And Snooki, she also has a broken heart because she has feelings for Vinny, but Vinny doesn't seem interested in her. He wants to go play around with these other girls.
Vinny and I were just like friends with benefits, but the fact that I'm like actually starting to get feelings for the kid, I don't like that at all. Hello, I'm here to hook up with, and you still haven't hooked up with me. What the f*** is wrong with me?
Well, you're ugly. You're stupid.
I don't think
you're a troll.
I don't think she's.
You got big poofy hair. You obnoxious.
I think that was a rhetorical question because she thinks she's hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought she wanted a lift.
I don't think so.
Now I'm going to cross this out then. No point going into that. Vinny on the show last night had a big moment. He became a man last night. He got his ears pierced. Only on this show can getting your ears pierced make you a man.
What?
He got both his ears pierced because all the other guys in the house have pierced ears and he don't have pierced ears.
But wait, that makes him a man?
Yes, that makes him an OG.
Okay.
That makes him a gangster, according to his buddy, Pauly.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
Yo, he's fresh to death, bro.
What's that hat?
You feel different now? You look it.
I feel like a G now. I walk with a limp now.
Them earrings changed my man, Vinny.
He thinks he is the man. He's even walking with a gangster limp. He's got his hat with a gangster lean. But he thinks he's the man now because he is pissed.
Yeah. I'd like these boys to come to my neighborhood. I'd like to introduce them to some real gangsters and see how that all pans out for them.
There's so much wrong with that last clip. I wouldn't know where to begin.
Just because the ears pierced.
Yeah.
They got the gangster lean and the hat all going and whatnot. I'd like to give them a gangster limp for real. When you get your kneecap shot off, that's why you're limping in my neighborhood. Well, I often wonder about these kids, and I say, what kind of home lives did they have that could make them turn out so poorly? And then, as if to answer my question, last night, Ronnie's mother calls the house in the middle of the day so drunk off her ass, you never believe a woman could work the buttons on a phone having had drunk this much. She calls the house looking for Ronnie. And the poor girl, Dina, who answered the phone, she get an earful of drunk.
Hello.
My name is Connie.
Ron's mom?
Hi.
He's not here right now. Do you want me to tell him that you called?
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely.
I love you.
What? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm Ken. I am 10.
That's awesome.
So 10. I look Indian.
You look Indian?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's like a phone conversation with Kevin.
How dare you, Lakeisha?
I am 10. I am so 10, I look like Indian. Where's my son, Ronnie? Well, she keeps calling back and calling back and calling back.
That's perfect case scenario.
Finally, Ronnie got to get on the phone and set her straight.
You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing yourself. Okay, stop, stop, stop. You understand me? Stop, because I will yank the phone right out of the wall and you won't be able to get in touch with me.
Yeah, that's a solution. How about not answer the phone? No, you got to yank it out of the wall. That would fix her little red wagon. Well, at the end of the day, Ronnie still can't get past this idea that Sammy was texting this other boy. So he got to call her and find out what's up. And when he does, I'm telling you, no good can come from it.
Yo, dude.
What up?
Yo, bro, I don't care. Have you ever hooked up with Sam?
Nah, not like that.
You never made out with Sam?
Yeah, we have.
This.
Wait, hold on.
This bitch. I'm done with her. Biggest liar I ever met in my life.
A bomb went off. I just heard it. An actual bomb went off.
It sounded like a bomb did go off.
A bomb went off in that house. No, it didn't really. But there's going to be some hell to pay next week. And I hate to break it to you, but I believe next week's episode is the season finale of Jersey Shore.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm thinking the whole Ronnie-Sammy relationship is going to come to a head next week. And maybe, just maybe, Dina will find her way out of that cardboard box.
I don't think I can wait till then.
Well, you're going to have to.
Oh, Lakeisha, thank you.
Well, except for Bean, who don't like talking to me.
Best part of our week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Sound like they ran out of energy for that song. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9:42.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. It's fun.
But do we have to?
Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Kevin.
Play that song?
That's what I hear.
Friday, getting down on Friday.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Worst song ever. Number 26 on iTunes currently, by the way.
Those are all ironic downloads, I'm telling you.
Hey, the money still spends, man.
Ironic downloads, by the way, are playing this weekend at the Troub. Check them out.
Are they with Baked Potato Mishap?
They
are. I hear they're very good.
Standing. I feel bad for the Friday girl now.
Why? I do too.
Oh, because she's...
I'm with you.
Because...
She didn't write the song.
She didn't write the song. She didn't produce the song. She didn't make the lame-ass video. She was really responsible for none of the badness. Well, that voice. But sure. Even that was auto-tuned, so who knows what she really sounds like when she sings.
And she even says, and bear in mind, she's 13 years old, that some of the lyrics didn't make sense to her, but she's not a music professional. She just did what they told her to do, right?
Her mom wrote a check for $2,000.
$2,000 they paid for that.
Yes. And the producer said, this is the song your daughter's going to sing, and we're going to put her in a video, and she's going to be a star. Little did they know.
She's going to
become a star for all the wrong reasons. But I felt bad because Bean keeps making fun of her, which I think is wrong and cruel.
What? I make fun of her.
He's mean about it.
But we're not nearly as cruel as some people are.
Well, that's good.
She was on Good Morning America this morning being interviewed.
The girl that sang?
The girl that sang. And Rebecca Black is her name. And they were talking about some of the comments made to her on the YouTube site where her song was playing.
Never read comments.
Do not read the comments. First of all, especially if you're 13 years old. Here's what she's been going through.
What's the meanest thing you've read that maybe hurt you the most?
I hope you cut yourself, and I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty, and I hope you go cut and die.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a little harsh, isn't it?
Well,
cut and die.
But in the poster's defense, she did sing a song that he didn't like.
I hope you cut and die, is what someone said to her.
Dude.
That's overboard, don't you think?
Look. And maybe this is a thing parents don't understand. You can disable the comment function on YouTube.
I feel bad for that kid.
So if you're going to put your kid out there, maybe you should have that disabled. But it's hard to hurt the feelings of a 13-year-old girl, though, Ralph.
That's
pretty
true.
Resilient.
They are sturdy when it comes to the self-esteem department.
Right. She's fine.
Oh, I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty. I hope you cut and die. Oh, my heart breaks for Rebecca Black.
That's not what she signed up for.
All that being said, your song blows.
It's a terrible song.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, she said that they auto-tuned the crap out of her and that she really can sing and that she's going to do an acoustic version of the Friday song to prove it.
No!
Do you know anything new on that?
Do not do it. Don't do it. That's
really
what I'm saying. Just go away. Just hope Charlie Sheen beats up another crack whore and just hope that your story fades into the background.
Look,
you're asking for a double dose if you sing an acoustic version of that song and then post it on YouTube.
The production is not the biggest problem. The writing of the song is.
Yes.
So you don't want to sing that song.
It's still bad, even if you take...
All the acoustic guitars in the world isn't going to change the lyric, yesterday was Thursday.
Right.
Today it is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday comes afterwards.
Those are actual lyrics.
That, nothing's going to change that, Rebecca.
Yesterday was Thursday. Thursday. Today is Friday.
Now, I think it would be safe to say the person who wrote that song should cut and die.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
I'm agreeing with you wholeheartedly.
All right.
You know what she should do if she can sing? She should go on The X Factor, Simon Cowell's new talent show.
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, she doesn't have a recording contract.
Sing anything else.
She said anything else. Mm-hmm. I bet they'd love to have her. They'd love to have the press. Yeah, 12 years old is the limit for that show. So at 13, she fits into the age limit. She should go on that show and compete and sing live in front of an audience other songs and then prove if she really has some talent or not.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Except for that she's 13 and you guys were being ironic when you said they bounce back easily.
Yes, we were. But if she's got something to prove, I'm saying don't post another video. Do not do that.
Especially of that song.
Speaking of Simon Cowell, of course, he's missing from this year's American Idol. Doesn't keep me from watching, though, because I love my Pia Toscano.
You love her.
She got through another vote-off episode last night, and Karen Rodriguez, sadly, was given the heave-ho.
Karen Rodriguez got kicked out.
It was Karen or Naimi or Haley, but Karen was the one who left. Pia, though, looked good last night, especially when she was talking about her dog. Oh, I'd love to be her dog.
My dog, Chloe. Who's it
to? Yeah, wait, what?
Well, you heard it. She cursed right there in American Idol.
Talking about her dog. Chloe. Who's it to?
Her dog, Chloe's a Shih Tzu.
And they beeped it?
And they bleeped the first part of Shih Tzu.
But that's a technical term for
a dog. It is an actual breed of dog, yes. But apparently the powers that be in American Idol thought it was too harsh for American ears to handle.
Oh, my God. Now, I have to ask again, Ralph. How do you think it happened? Were they trying to be funny? Was it the Jimmy Kimmel brand of unnecessary censorship? Or did somebody in the editing bay not know what a Shih Tzu was and thought she had sworn, and that's why they did it?
I thought they knew. but was afraid, they were afraid, rather, if they aired that, that someone someplace would misunderstand and complain.
That's what I believe. Guarantee that came from a lawyer.
That was just on the safe side editing right there.
And the Shih Tzu is a legitimate dog breed that has been around for hundreds of years that is fairly well known, right?
Yes. Someone with less than a grasp on what was going on edited that out. Much like Kevin did during LaQuisha earlier in today's show. That's
what do you
all
want
I'm
from
saying.
Me?
That's all I'm saying.
But they had time, didn't they? They had time.
Yeah, they recorded that sometime earlier this week.
They could consider it. They could look it up. They could see the breed. Wow.
So there you go.
Wow. I know we're almost out of time for the show.
We are.
But you tipped me off to a new movie in theaters this weekend that I was not aware of called Limited. And I really want to go see it. I hadn't heard anything. I haven't seen anything about this anywhere else. Is it for that's for real? That's happening?
Yeah, it's not in many theaters, but I just wanted to bring it up because I was concerned since there's a film called Limitless opening this weekend with Bradley Cooper that moviegoers may get it confused with Limited, which stars our own Kevin. So I wanted to make sure people knew the difference. Limitless, of course, is about a guy who takes a pill. And suddenly he uses all of his brain and he becomes a huge success because of it. He becomes rich and powerful and good looking and smart.
I'm pretty sure I'm not in a movie.
Kevin's film, Limited, is about a pill that makes you dumber. Here's the trailer.
Scientists say we only use 10% of our brains.
Now, I forgot what I was going to ask.
But what if you could take a pill?
That was the grouping of the most meaningless words I've ever heard in my life. That was more words that meant less.
And use even less. Kevin Ryder stars in Limited.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
What if you could take a pill and never be burdened by having to use your brain again?
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
If ignorance is bliss, he's the happiest man in the world.
The sum of the parts is greater than the, all of the sum of the, well, you know.
Kevin Ryder is Limited.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Kevin Ryder in Limited, coming to theaters near you.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer? Answer?
Yeah. You don't want to take that pill.
No,
that's no good.
You do
that's
not.
I would be so happy if I could blame that on taking a pill.
Yeah, so would we. Today's celebrity birthday is Vanessa Williams, 48. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 45. Queen Latifah is 41. Dane Cook turns 39, and Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tell me more about South Africa.
Sorry. I want to hear more about South Africa.
Sorry?
I want to hear more about South Africa.
Why does Kevin hate Fridays?
Wow.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over
right after
to
limited.
Me.
Kevin Ryder is Limited.
Right after that bubble. Exactly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I thought it was pretty cool.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Shut up, Coolio.
I need another hit.
Obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park.
From what I hear, Shinoda's a big raper.
Or is it I believe rapper? It's rapper.
Roll another one.
What are you going to do for 69?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pun.
This one seems to be about.
Wieners are hazardous to your health.
I don't have another cent.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I don't want to go into your man cave.
Congratulations. Worst so far.
I deserve better. We are done. Now get the hell out of my life!
You're on your own here, partner. But hey, it's not all bad, because you get to watch me walk away.
And that's a wrap?
Yeah, that's a wrap.
All right, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.